On today's Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast, the absolute dead corpse of the New York Jets floating somewhere in a river. Today's show exists so you can feel better about yourself and your team and your life, and I am here to be the person that you can jump up and down on and say, well, at least my sports life is better than Jason's.
J-E-T-S! Suck, suck, suck!
That's all you need. All you need is me to be here and hear my voice and know my sports life is better than yours. Also, a big trade in the NFL where the Steelers get a big-time cornerback, but was it at the expense of their future? Do you really want Jalen Ramsey in a trade? All the other big Week 2 stories of the NFL on the podcast. Keep it right here and pour one out for the New York Jets 2019 season. That is officially over. I guess you could say it was over before Monday night, but now it's really over. But is it really over? Yes, it is. Take a listen. Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Second down, they're behind the chains. Second and 12, snap back, he's got it. Looking middle, looking far right, going down the right sideline, and a one-handed grab by Beckham, but he is out of bounds. And now they're going to say he's got it inside the five at the four. What a catch by Beckham with his right hand.
If you missed it tonight, you'll see it on TV tomorrow, that's for sure.
33 yards on the catch by Beckham. Classic Beckham. They're at the 20. Beckham goes wide left. Chubb is alone by himself in the backfield. Motion off the left side. Here's Beckham giving off the left side. They give it to Chubb. He's wide open. 15, 10. He's going to go diving in. Touchdown, Nick Chubb. Chubb blasted off the left side, and he gave us a vintage Nick Chubb run.
Another one.
Trevor Siemian is holding the back of his left leg. And the Jets will be down to their third quarterback as he is hurt. As Luke Falk was just called up off the practice squad, signed for tonight's game to be the backup quarterback. And he is coming in as Trevor Siemian just got walloped.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Hello, and welcome to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Due to tonight's Jets game, we will now proceed with a best-of show. Let's look back at the time when Jason Smith and Mike Harmon first met and listen to their very first show instead of a new show that details what's happening in the Monday night game. We take you back to January 6th, 2014.
Who are you?
Jets, yo!
So that's my day. How was your day? Huh? Was your day any better?
Yeah, Bears.
Not your day. I mean, everybody, well.
Oh, you meant America.
No,
I thought we were having witty banter off the top.
No. Well,
that's what it said in the notes for the show. Witty banter.
Witty banter off the top.
Yeah.
Witty banter off the top.
That's what I named my horse. Witty banter.
This is what I mean when I say sometimes I exist, my life exists, so you can feel better about yours. Because even if you're a Steelers fan, you are saying, boy, we didn't have as bad a day as the Jets are having.
Rudolph looked pretty good. At least, get a little bit excited.
We're losing all. At least it didn't happen to us on national television. My goodness, is this embarrassing for the Jets.
They suck.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
What do you got, Golden Headphones?
And just when you think it couldn't get any worse, Jets wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, hamstring injury, out for the rest of the game.
Well, he hasn't practiced at all, so why were they trying to throw the ball to him anyway?
Because they're the Jets.
Running bad routes and confused and, yeah.
So here's the Monday night game in a nutshell right now. All right, let me give you the Monday night game in a nutshell, and then we can proceed with why I really am ready to turn the page on Adam Gase. Six quarters into the season. Cleveland leads the Jets 16-3 early in the third quarter. How did the game go for the Jets tonight? Odell Beckham had a great one-handed catch down the sideline to lead to a Browns field goal. The Browns kicked another field goal. The Jets had minus 12 yards of offense in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Second quarter, Trevor Siemian gets sacked. What looks like a really ugly ankle injury He comes out, and Luke Falk comes in, the guy best known now as, the guy who predated Gardner Minshew.
Never heard of
at Washington State. Boy, I wish the Jets had Gardner Minshew. They would be, no, we have the wrong Washington State guy playing quarterback for us. Oh, by the way, Luke Falk is on the active roster. How did he get on the active roster? Because the Jets wished happy birthday to a player from their social media account today and then cut him so they could put Luke Falk on the active roster. So, hey, happy birthday. Oh, by the way, you're cut.
Well, he had to see that coming, didn't he?
It's the Jets. You never know. Anything can come.
Yeah, they still wished him a nice happy birthday.
Anything.
Man, that's pretty good. You also forgot, during the broadcast, they actually called Trevor Siemian's injury a, quote, apparent leg injury, as he walked and kind of hopped on one leg back to the locker room.
Yeah, it was rough. The Jets have minus 15 yards passing right now. Minus 15 yards passing. And they are 12:49 left to go in the third quarter. They have 45 yards of offense total. This is a complete blank show. This is a complete and utter blank show.
Defense has played
for the
Jets.
They've played as well as you can. They forced Baker Mayfield to have to throw the ball high, get rid of it when he doesn't want to. But in the end, when you keep going three and out, and you can't cover anybody, it doesn't matter. The Jets, oh, by the way, have their $72 million cornerback, Trumaine Johnson, not playing in the game tonight. Why? Because he stinks. He was a guy that the Jets paid, and then he proceeded to say, you know what? I'm done. He was awful week one, so he's not playing tonight because he stinks. So a guy the Jets said, we're going to give you $72 million, and he is sitting on the bench. Then at the end of the first half, when the Jets are down 13-3, they have the ball deep in their own end. They have a chance to call three running plays, punt it back to the Browns, who would get the ball at midfield with about 5 seconds left in the half. All they'd have time for is a Hail Mary. The Jets do that? No, they're the Jets. They decide to throw the football. And what happens? One of their wide receivers drops an easy pass. Mm-hmm. So now the clock stops. The Jets have to punt the ball back to the Browns with time remaining. And the Browns are able to get down to the 25-yard line, kick a field goal, and go up 16-3. Adam Gase, I'm done with him. It's six quarters in. I'm done. What happened to the offense? What happened to the creativity? What happened to the offensive genius he was?
Well, Le'Veon Bell did take a direct snap at one point.
He's the best guy they have.
And handed it off to Ty Montgomery.
I mean,
how about that?
At some point, you got a coach. You have to realize that, okay, yes, we don't have our quarterback. We're playing without players. But you got to coach your ass off, man. And I don't know what they were trying to do at the end. Do you really? Luke Falk is going to take him 90 yards for a field goal in the final 45 seconds when the guy's taking all of six snaps in the NFL? That's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. Why are you throwing the ball and giving the Browns a chance for three more points? Jets football.
Now, as we've gone through now almost 2 weeks of NFL football, two things stand out. Kickers play. I mean, the third is the obvious, just quarterbacks besieged by injuries. And we'll get to that in a minute. But the other is, I don't know that these five guys from the Jets lining up to play as an offensive line had ever met each other.
Oh, they're terrible.
Before tonight.
They're terrible.
They're looking around like, all right, are you in the right stance? Are you in where you're going to be?
They're terrible.
And after every play, it was all right, let's go through our assignments again. Who are we supposed to pick up? And they're just dancing into the backfield. Like, you and I, we watch our daughters play youth soccer. And you have those teams that play against you that they're going to try to just be offsides all the time, and force the referee to call it, right? Mm. Always flying on the edges. That's kind of what the Browns have done defensively tonight. We're going to try to get off the ball really quick because we know your offensive line's terrible. You're not going to react well enough. And either Siemian, when he was in, or now with Falk, they're going to be scattered and make a bad decision. So what you're seeing is just getting off to the races quickly. So even in their best efforts, the Jets' offensive line have no chance. But they're so confused time and time again. It's just been a train wreck this entire night. The fact that it's only 16-3 is amazing.
The second play of the game, Myles Garrett comes in unblocked. The best defensive player on the Browns comes in unblocked. That was a sign that this is just not going to get any better. Oh, look, the Jets' defense has played pretty well. I mean, I got to give him credit. I give Greg Williams a lot of credit. But now there's this part of it, too, is that Myles Garrett tonight has been flagged twice for unnecessary roughness, roughing the passer. The second one resulting in the injury that knocked Trevor Siemian out of the game.
Now, season problem.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's walking is amazing, so I don't want to say anything while the guy's actually walking. But how much of it is, you know what, Greg Williams wanted to go back and forth, which I said was a smart move, right? Keep the pressure off of Trevor Siemian to start. But now you wonder, boy, did they just really go after the Jets even more? because of Greg Williams' word, the war of words. They're trying to injure me, and we're because the brass. Some of those hits were pretty dirty in the first half.
Well, and that second one from Garrett. I mean, that's a couple steps after the ball's gone.
He took two huge steps
and landed directly full body.
I can't believe he's still in the game. No, I can't believe he was still in the game.
Mike Pereira is going to join us a little bit later. That's one of the questions that has to be asked. We're talking about roughing the passer. Obviously, the Bears and Denver finish there is that. That's a lot of the talk. But here, how many do you get to have on a quarterback before you're sent off? I mean, I know there's no yellow card, red card situation.
How'd be great to see the referee sold up a yellow card to Myles Garrett.
But you, the first one, okay, fine. You make the call. You got one. Second one, it's a couple of steps and the full body over the top. And unfortunately for Simeon, we're talking about a leg injury. Even if he's walking off and limping off to the locker room, you're probably still talking about significant damage that gets done. So, but yeah, just teeing off of the Greg Williams, Odell Beckham Jr. You saw Jets players, whenever they got a chance, second, third man in on Odell Beckham Jr. as he got towards the ground off his couple of receptions. And so we'll see how the second half progresses. But it's gonna get even chippier, I believe, before this thing's done.
Remember, I exist sometimes just to make you feel good about yourself and your team.
I'm pretty good.
I'm like, I just exist to be one of those self-help guys. I don't need to do anything. All you do is look at the guy and go, Jason Smith. Oh, is he just going to talk and talk and talk and talk? No, he's a Jets fan. Oh, wow, I feel so much better about
myself. I got
life.
An idea for a
I
book
I feel
now,
so
though.
Much better right now.
We just take stills of you while you watch the Jets, Mets, or Knicks.
It's a coffee table book.
And it's a coffee table book. Feel Better About Yourself by Jason Smith.
He's wearing the same shirt on page 3, page 9, page 14, 16, and 17. Let's bring it back on 81 and 82, 104, 105, 106.
That has the same coffee stain on it that we had earlier. So, yeah. And look, and there's more mustard on his shirt. It's like, does he bother to wash it? No, the misery is complete. Oh, boy. Just awful. More flags on the field again as they get rolling for their next possession of ineptitude.
This is just, look, realize if you don't feel good, if something is wrong in your life right now, you have something that ails you. All right, you got something that ails you. You don't know what it is. Number one, I'll tell you, watch Dead Like Me.
It was good.
Because I'm about halfway through it. It's awesome so far.
They just started season 2 filming.
I know. It's awesome so far. So that's my television cure for what ails you.
Yep.
Watch Dead Like Me. Watch the Jets. Watch the Jets and you'll realize, wow, I really don't have problems.
Well, unless you're a Dolphin
I really
fan.
Don't have problems.
I mean, because they're better than the
Dolphins. Are saying, we're tanking for Tua. This is supposed to be, the Jets are supposed to be good. This is supposed to be their season. And now it looks like, what? We could be tanking for Tua. Really, at this point, I'm thinking, who do we draft? Who can we draft? And what guy?
You're going to be dreaming about that every night.
Depending how high we pick, what quarterbacks are okay to take at number 3 or number 4?
All of a sudden, you're an advanced college scout.
What do you got, Golden Advice?
That Jets-Dolphins game coming up in a couple weeks just got so much hotter.
Oh, you know what the over-under is on that game? 9.
As many passing yards as he have tonight?
Minus 14.
Is that good?
Yeah. And Falk just took another sack. Myles Garrett, his third.
What's the Frostberg? So let me ask you this. I have a question. Now, what's the greater number, Jets offensive yards tonight or Austin Ekeler fumbles?
Hey, I blame the nuns, okay? It's their fault.
Browns lead the Jets 16-3, and the Jets could play this game for a week, and they may not get to 16 points. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. I am here to help you feel better about your team, no matter who they are. If you're a Broncos fan, if you're a Steelers fan, if you're a Saints fan, even turn over to the Mets, they give up 6 runs in the 4th inning. When it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need to get to your short list of qualified candidates fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Your time is precious. Let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates and discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. That's Indeed. Indeed.com/hire. We have Mike Pereira coming up in a bit. We have a big trade to tell you about, and we have the latest on the big quarterback injuries that changed the face of the NFL today. And more on the Jets.
Poop fest.
That's next. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
J-E-T-E Jets!
They suck.
Poop fest.
Oh, no! We suck again!
You done? You done?
No. Buddy, buddy, there's another 3.5 hours.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. And to show you, things can always get worse. Browns lead the Jets 16-3. Trevor Siemian out for the game with an ankle injury. The Jets have been playing with Luke Falk at quarterback. And Myles Garrett has had his way with everybody the New York Jets have put out there, whether you're running back or quarterback.
Couple of roughing the passer penalties in between the sacks.
Adam Gase has had some ridiculously bad play calls in the first 2.5 quarters. And the Jets have 90 yards of offense. So again, always remember, it's always worse for some people. And this is why I exist, to make you feel better about your team.
But Luke Falk just dropped a dime, man. Robbie Anderson with a toe tap on the sideline for 36.
Luke Falk just made a nice pass to Robbie Anderson. The Jets have the ball on the outskirts of field goal range, and that's probably where they'll remain. So we'll keep you updated on this. 16-3.
Hey, Browns with the lead. Here with me, Mike Harmon.
Meanwhile, who would think today would be a better day for the Dolphins than it would be for the Jets? Raise your hand. Nobody. Nobody's raising your hand. The Dolphins coming off another huge loss yesterday, a shutout loss in the hands of the Patriots. They've been outscored 425-7 in the first 2 weeks of the season, but the Dolphins have just pulled off a trade that has now netted them a total of 3 picks in the first round next year. They have just traded defensive back Minkah Fitzpatrick, who has been unhappy and wanted out, one of the best slot corners in the NFL. He is wanted out. The Dolphins, who are tanking in a huge way, have said, sure, we want a first-round pick. Didn't think anybody would give it up. But the Pittsburgh Steelers have traded a first-round pick in 2020 in exchange for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Ian Rappaport reporting this a few minutes ago. So now the Dolphins have 3 first-round picks and an extra first-round pick from Houston in 2021. I mean, boy, you get to 2025, 2026, this Dolphins team is going to be awesome.
Once they round out and they get their quarterback of the future, it's
next year, in 2020, they have their own first-round pick, the Texans' first-round pick, and the Steelers' first-round pick. They also have their own second-round pick and the Saints' second-round pick. And then they have the extra first- and second-round pick from Houston in 2021.
That's an awful lot of draft picks. Brian Flores will be there to help build it. Who finishes the job?
Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer will show up.
After he leaves USC?
Yeah, it's perfect. Urban Meyer will go a couple more years at USC. Sure. He'll win a national championship, and then he'll go to the NFL.
Urban Meyer will be fine.
This will be just perfect enough for Urban Meyer to come in. But this is a great move by the Dolphins. Obviously, you're tanking. You have a guy who wants out, and you somehow get a first-round pick from Minkah Fitzpatrick. That is a you know how I feel about the Dolphins. That is a phenomenal move for the Dolphins. Now you look at the Steelers, who are looking at this entire season without Ben Roethlisberger, who is being placed on season-ending injured reserve. Like we said a few minutes ago, the landscape of the NFL changed immensely today with the news of Roethlisberger being out for the year and Drew Brees likely out for the next 6 weeks with a thumb injury. I get that they like Mason Rudolph, but my goodness, what are the Steelers doing? You're trading away a first-round pick when you may need to get your next quarterback of the future in the offseason. I mean, Roethlisberger's got an elbow injury. He's coming back because he's owed too much money. So it's not like they can't get out from under Roethlisberger until after 2020.
Well, because he wants to come back for that money, right?
Right. Well, he's got the
elbow surgery that we're talking about is basically Tommy John.
Right.
And now he won't be back for the beginning of the season.
No, it's too much dead cap money to cut. You can't. You owe him too much money for next year. But after 2020, they can get out of it. So, okay then. They're going to get out of it to 20. But you need – next year is when there's going to be 4 or 5 really good quarterbacks in the draft. That's when you have to say, this is going to be our guy. You know, this is going to be where we go to get our quarterback of the future next year. We got to do it here because if we, let's say we finish with the number six overall pick. Well, you're still going to get a guy. You finish seven. Are you going to get a guy at seven? I mean, it may be Jalen Hurts, but, you know, you have guys who are really good that are coming out of the draft that are all going to go. Next year's a great year for a crop of quarterbacks. And the Steelers have decided we're going to trade away our first round pick.
No, and that's a curiosity.
And this is a high first round pick.
Probably, what, top 12? Guessing. I don't know. 0-2 to start. Rudolph acquitted himself pretty well against Seattle defense yesterday. So you don't rule it out. There's still a lot of offensive talent. But to trade away a first-round pick when you do have Ben Roethlisberger, even before the injury, you got to start thinking about your future. And maybe they're sold on Rudolph in a whole other way. But, you know, we're looking at those guys from the 2004 draft. Breeze 2000 and Brady all the way back into that. I mean, you're talking about 2000, 2001, right? Brady and then Breeze and then the guys from 2004. Eventually, you got to start planning for the future. And giving up a first-round pick when you have some obvious deficiencies, when you look defensively at the struggles that they've had thus far, yeah, you needed a cornerback, but is giving up a first-rounder for Fitzpatrick the answer? I don't know. I think you're looking at the way the other teams in your division line up. Is that what you're saying? That you're going to have Landry or you're going to have Odell Beckham Jr. working out of the slot so we can neutralize him with Fitzpatrick, so at least trying to look at it that way. But certainly the way the season's begun for the Steelers, awfully difficult to give up such a premium for this player.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, we're getting some new news in on this trade. Hang on a second.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, wait. The Dolphins have actually changed the paperwork, and it's Ryan Fitzpatrick they traded away
Whoa.
For a first-round pick. They just changed it. So the Steelers didn't see it, snuck it under the wire. They signed off. So now they're getting Ryan Fitzpatrick for that first round pick.
Well, a couple of pick sixes. I mean, you know he can put up points for the opposition faster than anybody else.
Look, it's great that the Steelers are saying we're not punting on the season. We like Mason Rudolph, and we think he can come through, right? He had a pretty good debut yesterday, playing the majority of the game. Steelers almost came back to win it. I get that you say, hey, we're showing we're not punting on this. Like, just like the Colts did with Jacoby Brissett, we're going to give him more money and we are not going to tank. And I like that. But at the same time, you have to realize Ben Roethlisberger may have one more season and that's it. And who knows when he can come back. You have to be able to be in position to say, let's get our core. It sucks that the season changes on you after week two and you go, my God, it's over. Hey, look at me with the Jets. Of course, my season's over already. But sometimes you have to realize, all right, what's the greater good? Greater good is let's make sure you get one of those quarterbacks in the offseason.
Well, with the other side is you're looking at the Cleveland with a 16-3 lead now. They've not looked dominant in any way, shape, or form here against a bad squad. Although, as I say that, well, that just changes in a hurry. But the fact of the matter is that you've got the Bengals still there. So maybe you're thinking if we could take care of the division games, we can still fight for a playoff berth.
Oh, we have Mike Pereira coming up in 90 seconds, and he's going to talk about all the big questions that people have following some of the big refereeing decisions that were made that I'm sure the Broncos have, that the Saints have, that Odell Beckham has. But let me just tell you real quick. Let me set you something up for you.
Yeah.
The Jets were just driving, right? They had the ball 4th and 2.
Were they really, though?
On the Browns 12-yard line. Yo, sure they were. And what do they do on 4th and 2? They throw a screen pass to Le'Veon Bell, who catches the ball 8 yards back of the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
8 yards back line of scrimmage, and he gets caught 1 yard short of the first down, right? That's the Jets at their Jetsest. Let's throw a screen when he's 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and maybe he can get past 3 defenders, right? So that was it. So the Jets turn the ball over on downs. They're down 16-6.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
With us on the line now, we have so many things to get to. And, of course, we have some stuff from this unfortunate Jets game. Mike Pereira, who is taking it easy. And, Mike, I got to tell you, as whatever you're doing, it's better than what I'm doing right now because at least you're not a Jets fan. So do you have that going for you?
Well, I am not a Jets fan, but it's hard being a football fan and watching what's going on TV. If it wasn't for a cocktail watching the game, it would be unbearable, as a matter of fact. Man.
Mike just said he felt sorry for us,
that's
Jason.
Good. I dig that. All right, so let's start here, Mike. And listen, we'll play the NFL rules drinking game. Every time I say penalty, you have, no. So let's start with tonight's game, because this is what's gotten a lot of attention. Odell Beckham Jr. has to come out of the game because his helmet is tinted in a way that hasn't been allowed in the NFL in a long time. Now, I get that he has to come out, but isn't this something that you notice pregame, that you see, and not like when he's in the red zone and the Browns are going for a score?
Well, here's what I mean, and I don't know this for sure, but I would be 99% sure. You know, officials don't worry about that stuff. I mean, they have uniformed police that are on site there. Each team has their own representative that looks at the uniforms. I assure you that call came from New York, that they noticed it from New York and said, hey, you got to get him out of there because it's a tinted, you know, eye shield. And that either has to be approved by the doctors beforehand. You know, the whole notion with tinted eye shields, they're illegal because, you know, in day and age, the days we're in now with concussions, you want to be able to see through the eye shield. And that's why they have to be clear, unless there's a medical reason for that. But I promise you that New York in their operations center on Park Avenue noticed it, and they called to the stadium, and then it was called down to the officials who had him go. I mean, pretty much common sense. You ought to know if you're going to wear a tinted eye shield, you got to get permission first, and I think that was the breakdown. But it wasn't the officials that they probably would have just gone the whole way, assuming that maybe it was approved. Maybe there was a medical reason for it, but that obviously was not the case.
Instead, out on the red zone. Now, going back to yesterday afternoon's game, Mike, Bradley Chubb and the smush of Mitchell Trubisky heard around the world. Eventually, Pinheiro gets the game-winning field goal, but roughing the passer in everybody's eyesight, certainly during this game tonight here between the Jets and Browns as well. The Bradley Chubb decision call, I guess the judge's decision.
I like smush.
You like that?
I like that.
Thanks.
I like smush. It was nothing more than a smush. It wasn't like, for example, what you saw tonight with Miles Jack twice, where he drove the quarterback into the ground when he could have let up or could have at least attempted to let up. I mean, the Bradley Chubb hit was a smush and not a foul. You know, you're dealing with seven new referees, four last year, three this year, and it is a tough call to make, and it takes a lot of time to try to develop some consistency in that call. And there was one of your new guys working only his second game, and I did see him in the preseason, this referee, Adrian Hill, and I think he's going to be an outstanding referee. And in the preseason, I mean, he called three roughing the passer calls, which I thought were all good ones. It was in the Miami game in week three that I happened to be at. And so I had a lot of confidence going in, but I think sometimes when you're new and you make a couple of good ones, then you tend to maybe get a little technical. But, you know, we just hope, and Dean Blandino and I talked about it today, that the league is not reverting back to last year, when we had all of this landing on top of the quarterback with all your body weight, and they finally had to change their approach in week three of the regular season last year. And, you know, I don't think it's the case. I think it's more of the new referees, but that just wasn't strong enough to be a foul, that's for sure.
You know, and I get to tonight, not that it matters for the game because it's the Jets, but after that second roughing the passer penalty on Myles Garrett, who took a full two steps and hits Trevor Siemian, injures him, I'm surprised he was still in the game after that, because that second foul was pretty egregious.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people on Twitter were saying that's two and you should be out by rule, but the two and you're out by rule are not for personal fouls. They're for taunting acts. And, you know, disqualification is a big thing in the league when you're dealing with 46 active players only. It's not like college football and their targeting rule where there's automatic ejections. Hell, you might have 100 guys on the sidelines. But I would agree with you that it was a real vicious hit, but it's not the nature of the one. You know, if it's driving the helmet, the illegal use of the helmet, you know, that's the one that mostly is going to draw the disqualification. But, you know, to me, this was vicious. This was, I mean, in both instances is what they're looking for in driving the quarterback into the ground. And at least both of those were called. But, You know, you would think sometimes when you look at game control, I mean, you haven't got a lot of reaction, you know, really from the Jets in terms of, you know, squabbles. There was early in the game, there was some, but, you know, there hasn't been much of a reaction even after both of those.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, coming to you here from the Geico Studio. On the hotline with us, rules analyst for Fox Sports, former VP of officiating, our buddy Mike Pereira joins us each week. At Mike Pereira is where you find him on Twitter. You also find Last Call with he and Dean Blandino discussing all the big plays, the controversies of the week. And, well, we have to end where we ended last year. Rams and Saints, once again, Jared Goff goes back, the incompletion ruled. Jordan picks it up, sprints to daylight, but down there, reversed in a fumble. You got to swallow the whistle, right, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to blow the whistle if you're 100% sure that it's a pass, then go ahead and blow the whistle. But any element of doubt, let it go. You can always come back, rule it a fumble, turn it into a forward pass. But honestly, in all my time in officiating and certainly all my time involved with the league, the NFL, and with Fox, I have never seen three consecutive games like this for the Saints, which they basically have gotten screwed on. And, you know, it's just incredible to me, like this dark cloud is over the Saints and also the guys in the stripes that are officiating the games. You know, that was a huge mistake. Forget the final score yesterday. That was a momentum changer and one that referee Walt Anderson, who is a senior referee, I mean, he's going to look at that and be sick and wonder to himself, what did I see to lead me to think that the arm was going forward or the hand was going forward with control? But, you know, clearly an incorrect call, that's for darn sure.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Pereira. That is at Mike Pereira, former VP of officiating in the NFL, current rules analyst at Fox, friend of the show. Mike, as always, appreciate you stopping by with us. Enjoy the rest of your night. And you know what? If this game gets worse, you got to start sending me wine every week for the Jets.
I might not have any left over, to tell you the truth, after this game.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
See ya, Mike.
Great stuff there from Mike Pereira, as always. I mean, look, the Saints get screwed again. I get the – look, as far as it goes with Odell Beckham Jr., I get it. But at some point, someone's got to see, hey, that visor, you can't – I mean, officials are on the field going, hey, I can't see. They have to know that at some point to be able to say, hey, wait a minute here. I mean, I know you're not uniform. Maybe you don't see it in pregame.
Maybe
but once,
you,
once
maybe
the
you
game
like
starts,
youth soccer
you have to
now.
See it.
We all have to line up and get in
shape. Everybody line up. Let me see everybody. Let me see the bottoms of your cleats. Let me see your shin guards. All right, clap on. Everybody got your jewelry off? All right, great. But, I mean, once the game starts, you have to see that if you're the refs, I think.
Seems pretty obvious.
Yeah, still 23-3 because Odell Beckham Jr. Now has introduced himself to Greg Williams. 89-yard touchdown for the Browns. They are rolling the Jets. We'll have more on this game. We'll have more on the developing trade in the NFL. More on the big injuries. We have a lot of stuff happening tonight. Keep it right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Call me Big Papa.
11.5 to go in the fourth quarter. The Browns are driving. They lead the Jets 23-3. And it's just been that kind of a night.
Grind it out, and then one big play to Odell Beckham Jr. is really what defines it in the end, because the Browns weren't particularly crisp. The Jets defense did a pretty good job overall, but eventually the dam's going to break.
Well, when Trevor Siemian got hurt and Luke Falk had to come in, you knew things weren't going to go well. Adam Gase calling plays has not gone well either.
No, he's been a disaster.
Greg Williams saying Odell who has not gone well either, considering he just burned the Jets for an 89-yard touchdown.
And yeah. Guess what, Jason?
What's up?
We have it.
We have what?
Mayfield starts at his own 10.5-yard line. Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone.
Of course 10, he is.
5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium. 89 yards, OBJ.
Take that, Greg Williams.
Hooray. Remember, I exist tonight to make you feel better about your life.
Well, yeah.
I'm my own personal self-help guru.
Yeah, but you're now last because the Dolphins are at least setting things up for a future.
Who would
have
thought?
You're spiraling to the fifth ring of hell.
Who
would have
thought that the Dolphins had a better Monday than the Jets? Trading away Minka Fitzpatrick and getting a first-round pick that could be really high if the Steelers continue to lose. You get a top-five pick from Minka Fitzpatrick. They got three first-round picks next year.
They'll be all set up to block for Josh Rosen.
In 2028, yeah.
I feel bad for Josh Rosen.
No, because now they're going to sacrifice him. They're going to put him out with this dreck.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, all right, go do it.
Great. And then next year, now we're drafting Tua. So thanks, Josh. Good luck on your third team.
They're just going to put him out as lamb to slaughter.
We told you about the Minka Fitzpatrick trade. The Steelers somehow giving up a first-round pick for the disgruntled cornerback of the Miami Dolphins. Who could be next? Jalen Ramsey, who now wants out of Jacksonville after getting into it with Doug Marrone yesterday during the game a couple of times. Ramsey was upset that Doug Marrone didn't challenge an incomplete pass that he thought was incomplete early in the first quarter. They got into it a little bit off the sideline. Then he went over to yell at him again while he was sitting down. And two defensive backs stood up and told Doug Marrone to leave and go back to coaching the game. Now Jalen Ramsey wants out. He wants out. He wants the Jaguars to trade him. And this is new news in the past couple hours. There's two things to take away from this. Number one is that, boy, if you really want Jalen Ramsey, this guy's really talented, but he has been a headache since day one. He has been an absolute headache since his rookie season in Jacksonville. So you are signing up for a lot of baggage if you want him. And that's I don't know that I could say yes, go give up a high first round pick for Jalen Ramsey. Because the price just went up. If you can get a first round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick,
right.
Now the price just went way up for Jalen Ramsey. The guy's a lunatic. I can't say I'm ready to give up because he wants to get paid as well. So I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be stuck in Jacksonville.
Second or third round pick from New England.
I can't believe New England didn't give up a first round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Nah,
but the other part of it is this.
Bargain down the road.
Yeah, they're waiting for the Steelers to drop him.
The other part is this. Doug Marrone will be the first head coach fired this year. Because just the fact that you saw him go over to yell at Jalen Ramsey and his fellow defensive backs yell and point him to go back to coaching. I mean, reason guys get fired midseason is only because of mutiny. If you're having a bad year, no one's going to fire a head coach as long as the team is showing up and they're playing well. I mean, look, that's just how it goes. But when you have mutiny, you need a new head coach. And Doug Marrone, clearly there is a mutiny coming in Jacksonville. When you talk about Jalen Ramsey wanting out plus running the ball with Leonard Fournette on the two-point conversion yesterday instead of throwing it when Gardner Minshew had just led the Jaguars down the field into what would have been a game-tying score. And the thing that gets me about that play call is not that it got stopped, but the Texans were waiting for it. I mean, the fact that it's Minshew, 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 Minshew down the field, and they spread everybody wide, and they still stop Leonard Fournette on the one-yard line, I mean, that tells you the Texans were waiting for that play. So that's another bad play, a bad play call by Doug Marrone. He'll be the first guy fired.
Well, that's enough to lose your locker room. And what do we always say in all sports? Stars win, right? Managers, coaches, accepting college football and college basketball, they come and go. You're hired to be fired. It's just a matter of what your duration is. And in this case, Jalen Ramsey, whatever you might think of the guy, and I still think he did a really bad job when he's asking for more money with that Brinks truck and only having like five people there. Bad hype man. But he's arguably, top three cover corner, if not the best, going in the NFL. There should be demand for his services, and maybe you get him as a distressed property because things are sinking in Jacksonville.
Well, after what happened to the Jets tonight, I can't say sinking money into a DB that just wants to get paid is a good idea.
Fair point.
Hey, we got more in the poop fest happening right now. That live coming up next. Keep it here. Feel good about yourself.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium.
Enough. another one.
Bell in the backfield with Falk. He's back to pass on first and a bundle, and he's going to get hit down at the two and spun down again. As the Browns get in it, Myles Garrett does it again.
Another one.
Falk looking right, throws out in the right flat. There's Bell, and he's out of a tackle again. 20, 15, 10, and then he fumbled. Loose ball, the Browns have it. The ball popped up in the air, a loose ball, and the Browns come up with it. And getting in there to make the play, getting in there for the Browns is T.J. Carey. As Le'Veon Bell got popped and it spit up into the air.
J-E-T-E Jets.
Oh, no. We suck again.
So, that's my day. How was yours?
Better? Not too shabby. Good
better?
To see you.
Better? Good. You had a better day than I did.
Well, I got to watch the Bears victory again. It was ugly until those final 2 minutes.
I am getting to watch. Now, this is an even big day for me. Much bigger than I expected. Because what I am getting to watch right now, as the Jets are getting pounded 23-3 to the Browns, Trevor Siemian, who started for the Jets tonight, got hurt early. Luke Falk has come in. The Jets have put no points on the board. Even Le'Veon Bell is fumbling at two, Le'Veon. The Jets season is over. But what I am getting to watch, and this is really interesting, is that the same night, around the same time, I'm watching the season end for the Jets and the Mets. Because the Mets are going to lose to the Rockies, fall 5 games out of the wild card, they're done. So I'm getting to watch both my team seasons end the same night, the same exact time.
Happy September 16th.
That's special, buddy.
You know, this reminds you of the old Simpsons gif. Stop, he's already dead. You know, when Homer goes to the Krusty the Clown school and kills the Hamburglar.
Yeah. I just keep thinking of Office Space when Michael Bolton keeps beating the crap out of the computer. They pull him away. He's like, no, I want more.
And he comes back. Exactly. Yeah, he wants to get one more in. Sure. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at tonight. And look, I'm seeing a lot in the social media sphere of this is the Browns team we expected.
Just stop yourselves.
Except for the 89-yard touchdown pass and the brilliant one-handed catch from Odell Beckham Jr. early in the game. This hasn't been a very great effort by the Browns.
It looks better than it is because the Jets are inept. All right, the Browns are going to win this game. They're going to win it handily, and rightfully so. They're the better team. But this is not one of those, the Browns are back type games.
No.
All right, Baker Mayfield struggled. Struggled throwing the ball, struggled moving the team down the field. They hit that one play to Odell Beckham, which is a great play, but that's really been it. Their drives all stalled, and they had to kick field goals. 3 points the Jets gave to them at the end of the first half. I mean, this is not like, hey, Freddie Kitchens has figured it out. This is, well, against a team like this, most everybody's going to win. This is our game. We just happen to win this game, and the score is going to be 23-3. When had the Jets played the Patriots or Cowboys or somebody good, you're talking like 59-3. I mean, that would be what the final score of this game
is. Yeah, no, there's just not been the same efficiency. You're looking at Mayfield's at about 50% completion rate, 296 in yardage, but 89 of that comes on the one big play off a 10-yard slant and, well, disappearing act by the Jets defense. And look, the story of the game is going to be Myles Garrett more than anything else when you look at what he's done statistically and the effect that he had taking out Trevor Siemian on what was his second roughing the passer call of the night. He's been called for offside several times. He's trying to do that timing thing. He's like the burner in a soccer game that you're just trying to play the dump and chase, and they toe the line of being offsides every play and every advancement of the ball. That's what Garrett's doing because, well, nobody's blocking him. Nobody's getting a hat on him, and he's getting a free run on Siemian, got a free run on Falk, had another play that looked like it was close to a helmet-to-helmet on a tackle. So, but it's the story of just the Jets and just the levels of ineptitude at every point.
Probably 90% of the league the Browns would play tonight, and they would lose to.
Even the Dolphins would beat them.
It would be closer. I mean, the Dolphins might have six. You know, they would be a little bit closer. But 90% of the teams would beat the Browns tonight. It's not, they have not played great. They just played not as badly as the Jets. It's who sucked the least. Well, the Browns did. So, okay, great. I mean, that's really the way the night went. Look, the Jets are just, it's such an embarrassing night for everything coming around with the Jets. They're in with a backup quarterback. They don't have their inside linebacker who has been their best player over week one, who is missing week two. They lose their backup quarterback a quarter and have to go to their third string quarterback, who was hired off the street. They have to rely on fumbles and turnovers by the Jets, turnovers on downs, and the Jets handing them field goal points at the end of the first half because Adam Gase, I'm ready to move on from Adam Gase, and it's been 7.5 quarters. I mean, we realize that's how the Browns have won the game tonight. I mean, the vast majority of the NFL, they would lose to the Bills. They would have lost this game to the Patriots. They'd have lost to the Ravens. They'd have lost to the Texans. They'd have lost to the Colts. They'd have lost to the Titans. They'd have lost to the Chiefs. They'd have lost to the Chargers. They'd have lost to almost anybody else in the AFC besides the Jets. They did what they were supposed to
do.
Well,
that's just it. You come in, succeed, and proceed.
But this is what happens when you live every... I say this about the Browns all the time. When you want to live 100 miles an hour every second of every day, you're not going to be able to sustain that for success in the NFL. So what this has done for the Browns is, okay, well, hey, great, now we feel better about ourselves. So that's good. It's good for the Browns. They feel better about themselves, but they think they've solved their issues, and they haven't. Because like I said, this was still a night where they struggled, where Baker Mayfield couldn't get the team up and down the field. He's going to wind up having great stats.
Oh, sure.
Because the Jets have no defensive backs. $72 million man Tremaine Johnson is on the bench tonight because he stunk so much last week. He is just not playing tonight because he stunk. Right, so everybody who says, oh, let's pay Jalen Ramsey because he's a guy that could come in. He wants a trade. Let's trade a high round pick and we'll sign him to a big contract extension. The Jets can't get out of Tremaine Johnson's contract fast enough. This is a guy who just took the money and disappeared. He was terrible last year. He couldn't cover anybody on the Bills week one. And the Bills have nobody that you should have to double cover. Even though John Brown is fast, you should not have to double cover him. But he couldn't do it then. He gets benched tonight because he was so bad last week. And the Jets defensive backs are this bad tonight, and still he doesn't get on the field. Right, so when you want to go trade for a high first round pick, like you want to go trade for a big time cornerback who's also worth problems off the field, hey, you know what? Buyer beware. Just look at the Jets, who thought they had solved all their issues last year by giving money to Tremaine Johnson.
Well, you got those two guys that could be looking for a trade. You talk about Jalen Ramsey and his situation with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then you got Xavien Howard after the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade goes down with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Posted a shot of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the finale when the house is all empty and it's just Will Smith looking around. So maybe that's a guy you go trade for. He's got a contract running through 2024 with an out after 2022. But the Jets came into this game to get it back to the Monday Night Football debacle as it rolls. The fact is, as you pointed out as we got started, look at all the deficiencies in this team. Forget about Sam Darnold in the quarterback position. Just look at all your building blocks, right? Defensive line, Quinnen Williams isn't playing. And you pull the front seven, C.J. Mosley paid an arm and a leg to bring him in, and he's unavailable, right? He was your scoring last week. I mean, he scored your first touchdown, and he's out of the game. Cornerbacks are inept. Play calling from Adam Gase has just been atrocious. Once you know you're down to your second, third quarterback, you got to be Felix the Cat and get into that bag of tricks. There's got to be something there to at least get a little bit innovative. Receivers, when the ball actually gets out to you, you know what? You're paid to catch the ball. No matter how good or bad a night is, it's on your hands. You better catch it because those might be the only shots you get downfield as it goes. Le'Veon Bell's been a beast. The fumble's unfortunate because otherwise he's at least...
Yeah, everybody's got to be held accountable.
Right.
Everybody's
accountable. You're talking about a guy who touched the ball 30 times, has been everything they could have wanted him to tonight.
Yeah, sure.
And then just the ball, hat on the ball in the absolute proper place. And it just popped up. It was like floating like a balloon. And you're like, no. Oh, it sails into the...
I'm waiting for him to demand his trade after the game is over.
Well, they just showed up.
I didn't sign up for this, man.
No, they just were going to a commercial break, and they showed the tears streaming down his face.
You know,
he's having one of those nights because he's realizing, I think, what this season's become.
What do you got, Frostberg?
Oh, you want some good news?
What's that?
Yeah, a little bit of good news. Tremaine Johnson just made his first appearance in this 23-3 game.
Well, that's
he just
good.
Came in the
Only
game?
Only because Nate Harrison got hurt.
Oh, jeez. You know,
Jets, yo.
I can't believe this, but I went from this morning going, you know, as bad as it is, I'm glad I'm not the Dolphins.
And you're now worse tonight, than the Dolphins.
And now tonight, the Dolphins make a trade. Just tell us.
At least they're going to be good in 5 years, Jason.
Dude, just listen.
The Jets cannot say that.
Dude, and I can tell you that the Jets will still be bad while Austin Eckler is still fumbling for your Chargers.
I blame
okay?
the nuns.
Okay.
It's the nuns' fault.
Is that I went from this morning going, I'm glad I'm not the Dolphins. And then the Dolphins make a phenomenal trade tonight. They trade Minkah Fitzpatrick away. Look, they're tanking anyway, so they don't need him. The Steelers trade a first-round pick to the Dolphins for Fitzpatrick. This is news that broke about an hour ago. And now the Dolphins have 3 first-round picks next year. They have 2 first-round picks the year after. They're going to draft Tua Tagovailoa because they're going to wind up drafting first overall. So now who would I rather be? The Jets, wondering what's going to happen with Darnold when he comes back, if he comes back, with a roster that's terrible, that has no defensive backs, no pass rushers, and no offensive line? Or would I rather be the Dolphins, who are going to go 0-16, but they'll probably beat the Jets once. And next year, they're going to completely revamp and go, we got Tua, we got weapons, now we're loaded and ready to go. I can't believe I've gone from I'd rather be the Jets any day of the week to now I'd rather be the Dolphins in the span of like 3 hours.
Well, yeah, when you look at what the Dolphins are doing, as I mentioned, Xavier Howard is probably the next guy to go. You might be able to get a team to give up a first-round pick for him. Hell, you might be able to get multiple draft picks for him as you roll through. So you just keep rolling out accumulating draft picks. That's always seemingly worked out for Bill Belichick and company, so maybe you emulate a little of what they're doing there. You gave Brian Flores the 5-year deal, so the vote of confidence of, hey, you're at least around to build it and put it in place, whether he's the guy that actually gets to run with it once all these draft picks are there and they've reconstituted this roster is a whole other question to be solved as we roll. But when you look at there's at least a plan in place, right? Jets tried a couple of stop gaps and brought in a couple of big names in Bell and Mosley to help try to push things forward. I have the Odell Beckham Jr. touchdown run. You see safety Marcus May with one of the worst angles ever to try to tackle. Like that's indicative of what your night was, of where the ineptitude is. Your offensive line looked like 5 guys who've never met each other when they got out there this evening.
There's
I thought
just
I saw
so
handshakes.
Many problems.
I mean, no, but that's just it. You're starting from scratch. Darnold was clearly a guy with a lot of issues that were still unsolved, right? In week one, he was throwing to air. He was overshooting his receivers. He was inconsistent and off the mark. So you didn't.
But
even
he was supposed to cover stuff up, and now you realize. And look, and this is a lot of it's the failure of the previous regime. You see how bad of a GM Mike Maccagnan was that now 3 of the top 6 positions on the team are terrible,
right?
And you didn't take care of any of them. He was a horrible, horrible general manager. But still, Adam Gase, I don't know what he's doing tonight. I don't know what he's been doing for the past 2 weeks. I mean, yes, you're losing guys, but he has done the Jets no favors.
You're supposed to be a genius.
You're
supposed to be this guru to try to find configurations and plays to break things open to try to solve a defense, and there's been none of that tonight. No innovation whatsoever.
I can't believe I'd rather be the Dolphins than the Jets, and that happened tonight.
Well, you'd be in South Beach at least.
Great news! You're not the Jets. Great news! There's a quick and easy way you could save money. Switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more in car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you could save. Coming up next, Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider, stops by. All the latest on the big Steelers-Dolphins trade, plus what else is going on in the NFL coming off of the game tonight. We had the controversies officiating yesterday. Keep it right here. We're loaded on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Call me Big Papa.
Live from the Geico Studios, it is a final in New York. The Browns beat the Jets 23-3.
Yay.
The Jets lose Trevor Siemian early to an ankle injury. Luke Falk, who was just signed the other day, plays the majority of the game for the Jets.
20-25, though, Smith.
Yeah, and no points. 20-25 and no touch. 3 points the Jets scored tonight. Just saying.
He didn't fumble the ball at the 8.
2025 is also the year the Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl following all their first-round picks.
Are you predicting that Brady will retire by then?
By then, I think he's done. So that's what we're dealing with. That's what I'm dealing with right now. Just realize I exist so you can feel better about your team.
Yay.
No matter who they are. Joining us now on the hotline, CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. JF, I asked you to tell me, to bring me some good news about the Jets. I wonder what you would say to me.
I'd say that game is over, and I'm going to get to bed before midnight tonight, so that's good news for me.
For the win.
That game came in about 3 hours, so that's a win.
Look, obviously tonight was a night where the Browns win this game. The Jets show they have so many issues, and it's just, it's stunning just to see a season go from, hey, we had said, it wasn't, to see when you have so much promise, whether you are the Steelers, whether you are the Saints, and in a blink, for various reasons, it just goes away because now the Jets season's over after tonight.
Well, I mean, look, the Jets are in a tough spot. The early schedule was always going to be a bear, and you take Sam Darnold out of the equation, and Quincy's out for the year, and a few, you know, C.J. Mosley had a great half, you know, he had a great half when he was out there week one, but, you know, now he's out of the mix, and they're not a very deep team to begin with, so you start taking away guys like that, it's going to get ugly. You get down to your third-string quarterback in your second game of the year, it's probably not a recipe for success. They've certainly got their share of issues, no doubt about it. But, you know, on the bright side, 3-4 weeks from now, Sam Darnold could be back. The schedule does let up some, and we'll see. You know, look, they're not going anywhere, obviously, but at this point, I think that's fair to say. But, you know, we'll see if they can finish better than they started. The other two teams you mentioned, I wouldn't write either one off yet. I really wouldn't. The Saints are in a better position than the Steelers because they have a better record, and their quarterback is going to play this year at some point, and they've got a backup who has, you know, he reached the playoffs at a very young age in this league and has kind of seen everything at this point and been through everything, and he's got a brilliant offensive mind and Sean Payton, who knows what he can do and can't do, who I think will coach him up. And the Steelers, look, that offense through six quarters with Ben Roethlisberger was an abject failure. I mean, Ben throwing the wide receivers this year, 20 for 40, 204 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, QB rating of 54.6. They at least got a spark. There was something happening downfield when Mason Rudolph got in the huddle. Now, he's going to make a lot of mistakes. They're going to have to trim the playbook. They're going to have to. They better start running the ball well. But, I mean, with what's going on in this, and all these quarterbacks going down and so many injuries, I would not write the Steelers off yet.
Well, I like chaos, Jason, so all of this is fun for me through the end of 2 weeks. Not that I want to see anybody hurt, of course, but certainly uncertainty in the NFL is good. So we're not just, well, except for the fact that it's Patriots and Chiefs. But the Steelers do make a move on defense. Minkah Fitzpatrick, number one choice, and a bunch of other draft picks swap between the two teams. The next guy to get himself out of Miami. Pretty good job by him.
Yeah. He's got the same agent as Khalil Mack. So, you know, Khalil Mack a year ago gets himself out of what turned out to be an absolute abysmal situation in Oakland. He gets to Chicago. He goes to the playoffs. He elevates his profile, and he gets a massive contract. Now, Minka's not going to get any money because he can't get any money for a while. But you can't even start negotiating a deal until you're 3 full years in the league. So he's got a ways to go for that. But to go from what Miami's going to be, not just this year, but Miami's going to be brutal next year too, to Pittsburgh, where, okay, it might be a little tough this year, but they fully expect Ben Roethlisberger back next year, and it's not like that roster is just going to fall to pieces. So to go from, what you know, Miami might not win a game this year, to go to Pittsburgh, where the expectation every year is the playoffs and where they have a Super Bowl pedigree, and to get the deal done in a matter of days, pretty good work. And I mean, look, this kid has the potential to be an absolute impact player at a couple of different positions. You've got to use him correctly. You've got to work with him on some things. And clearly the Dolphins didn't seem to, you know, the new regime there didn't seem to view him the way some others around the league did. He only played 60% of their snaps week one, so that alone will get people's attention. But he'll be playing a lot more than 60% of the snaps in Pittsburgh. He was the 11th overall pick a year ago. He's very young. He's very cheap. And the Steelers still think they're a viable team. So to them, that makes sense. And I can see their logic. And if not just for this year, I mean, they've got him dirt cheap for, you know, 3 more years.
The other guy now we turn to, if Minkah Fitzpatrick goes for first-round pick, Jalen Ramsey wants out of Jacksonville after getting in a dust-up with Doug Marrone yesterday. What happens with him?
I mean, you look at what Laremy Tunsil fetched. You look at what Khalil Mack fetched a year ago. And Tunsil, that trade happened without a new deal. So they still have to pay him. I'm trying to get 2 ones for him if I'm Jacksonville. Now, the difference here, the caveat is this guy has been a malcontent. This guy has clashed with the organization. You know, he's been involved in scuffles in training camp, and he's had himself, you know, disciplined numerous times. And clearly he doesn't respect Doug Marrone. I mean, I, But I also, you know, Doug Marrone has not exactly proven to be, you know, the most forward-thinking, you know, modern sort of, you know, all-encompassing head coach. So I can understand both sides of the coin on that one. But he, on his day, any given Sunday, he is the best corner in the NFL. He doesn't do it all, you know, 16 weeks. But he does it quite a bit. But he's got, he likes to talk, and, you know, he wants to get paid. So there's some mitigating circumstances there. But I if I'm Jacksonville, I'm trying to get two ones. If that's completely impossible, then I'm looking for a one, and I'm looking for a good, cheap impact player, and I'm looking for another draft pick. And I think someone will eventually meet that price.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, coming to you from the Geico Studios. On the hotline with us, CBS Sports NFL insider, friend of the show, here with us each and every week, Jason Lockenfora. Find him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. New England rolls, going back to Dolphins, I guess, 43-0, the Patriots roll. Antonio Brown, three catches early, finishes with four and a touchdown. And now we have to await word of what came out of the meeting from the league office with his accuser. What do you expect the next steps here, Jason?
You know, I don't think that there's any immediate change in his status. They've got to talk to Brown himself. Excuse me. I think I'm allergic to Antonio Brown at this point, to be honest with you. I think it, just the mere mention of his name sets off my sinus. I don't think there's going to be a quick resolution to this. And you know, whatever they do here from both parties, how do you vet it? You know what I mean? Like, you've got two people, and they're the only two people on the planet who absolutely know the tenor and nature and the totality of their relationship. It's an issue that law enforcement struggles with. For a league to get to the bottom of it, I think that that's a difficult expectation or bar to reach. So, you know, we'll see if Roger Goodell and the legal team at Park Avenue, you know, determine that there is a piece of evidence or a development of some sort that they believe, you know, is worthy of taking him off their roster, either with pay or without pay, then they'll do that. But, you know, the fact that there are no legal documents outside of a, you know, a civil suit, there is no paper trail, there are no incident reports, there's no police reports, there's nothing else from the scene of these various events, and there are no, you know, there's no criminal proceedings at all. That, you know, that's why the NFL didn't make any preemptive rule prior to week two, and that's why I'm not so sure that won't remain the case for a while.
All right, Jason, lastly, now it's been 2 weeks and we've seen who started out fast and who started out slow. What's the biggest surprise to you so far? Either positive, team playing well, team not playing well, through the first 2 weeks. Biggest surprise for you?
Biggest surprise? I mean, Washington's defense. I thought Washington would have a top five-ish defense. I knew I had no expectations for the offense. I thought they'd be, you know, picking somewhere between 5 and 8 at the end of the year, but I just thought it would look a lot different than it does. The way they're getting manhandled, that defense pushed around, the offense is giving them early leads and they can't come close to holding it. You know, that's troubling. You know, and there's some individuals. John Ross finally healthy, making an impact on what looks to be a very bad Bengals team, but at least showing up and, you know, looking the part of how high they drafted him. You know, that surprised me because, frankly, I had sort of internally written him off a little bit. And Denver's defense. I thought Denver at best would be a 7-9-ish team because the offense I expected to be putrid. But you got Vic Fangio there, and you've got some great individual talent, and they can't. You know, they're not able to close. They're not getting the kind of pressure that I thought they would. You know, Trubisky's a guy who can hold on the ball, try to extend things too long. They didn't get to him. I mean, not that he did anything of note, really, but I thought they'd turn him over, you know, 2-3 times. And that part of the game hasn't been there for them, and that's, you know, a big part of the reason why they're 0-2. So, yeah, I mean, some things like that. You know, stand out a little bit. And then just these injuries to the quarterbacks. You know, you just don't – for them to happen this quickly in such succession, you know, and you can really go back to Andrew Luck retiring, you know, and just like the sort of flip-flop of sort of the paradigm of quarterbacks in the league. And then you look at who's starting for some of these teams now, it is kind of jarring.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That's at Jason Lockenfora. You want jarring Jason, try being a Jets fan, watching every single game.
Oh, yeah, no thanks. Yeah. I'm not signing up for that.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
See you, Jason.
I'll tell you the most embarrassing thing for me tonight coming off of this Jets game. I've got that coming up in 90 seconds.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, of all the things tonight in this Jets game.
Jets, yeah.
And really, tonight has become pile on the Jets night.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's what it is everywhere. Like I said, sometimes I exist just to make you feel better about yourself. And piling on the Jets certainly is something that, hey, you know what? That makes you feel, I'm okay. I'm here for you for that. I'm okay with that. I could take it. I got big shoulders. I could take it. But of all the things that happened tonight with the Jets, did I think they were going to come in Trevor Siemian? No. Did I think they could cover? Yeah, I thought maybe they could cover. But then Trevor Siemian gets hurt, and Luke Falk has to come in. The two things that stick out to me that just, when I grind my teeth on it, because I'm going to grind my teeth tonight. I'm going to need one of those Shaq mouthpieces. I don't know how bad I was snoring, and now I got the zipper, and I put that in, and now I don't snore anymore. I'm going to need like 8 zippers in my mouth to stop grinding my teeth tonight. The first thing is you had Trumaine Johnson, $72 million contract they gave him going into last year, and he is quintessentially the guy who got paid and disappeared. He didn't play tonight. Not for disciplinary reasons. Adam Gase just said at the podium, we decided not to play him tonight because we didn't play him.
We just decided not to play him. How about that?
He stunk so bad, they decided not to play him. Right? He's a guy that they get. This shows you how awful of a roster that was constructed that Adam Gase inherited. But for 2 weeks, Adam Gase's offense has been a complete and total dud. There's been no creativity, nothing. It got worked by the Bills, and it was nowhere. Nothing fun, nothing outside the box to help Luke Falk, to help the Jets get down the field. And when I watched on 4th and 2 at the 10-yard line, a screen pass to Le'Veon Bell, who caught it 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, I'm like, this is Adam Gase's offense? Let's throw a screen to Le'Veon, who is 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and they don't get a first down on 4th down. But more so than that, it's 16-3, and it's 13-3 going to the final minute of the first half. The Jets have the ball deep in their own end. With Luke Falk, a new quarterback, in, it's obvious they're not going to get all the way down the field. This is where you run the ball a few times, and you go to halftime and try to recoup down 16-3. The Browns have a couple of timeouts. So if the Jets run the football 3 times, they're punting from their own end zone or near their end zone, but the Browns have all of 5 seconds left on the clock when they get the ball back, right? But still, that's what you have to do and force the Browns to throw a Hail Mary, you know, from midfield, right? You have to put that out there. But what do the Jets do? No, they decide to throw the football on their own goal line. And yes, it was a pass that should have been completed. Josh Bellamy drops a pass that should have been a first down.
It should have been a 40-yard gain. Right. He had room in front of him if he actually catches the ball.
But he drops the ball. So what happens now? The Jets punt. And the Browns get the ball back inside of midfield with 30 seconds left in the half. So what happens? They get down inside the 20-yard line, kick a field goal, and go up 16-3 instead of 13-3 at halftime. I don't know what Adam Gase is doing at that point. You just have to get to halftime. You're not going to go. Luke Falk is not going to come in and suddenly take you down the field 80 yards for a field goal. He's not going down. You have the ball at your own 10-yard line. You're not going to go. You're not going to kick a field goal on the final play of the first half. Get to halftime, down 2 scores, but said no because I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm a genius. I'm going to throw the football here. I don't get it, and I'm ready to move on from Adam Gase in 2 games.
Well, and then you give up a 3rd and 20 conversion, right? Mayfield hits Jarvis Landry for 25 yards. You got to stop. You have an opportunity right there. They're at midfield. Instead, 25-yard gain, spike the ball, and kick the field goal. Yeah, Adam Gase, no creativity whatsoever. That play to Le'Veon Bell. Where's Ty Montgomery? Where's some sort of trickeration? Just trying to make something happen.
And I haven't gotten to Odell Beckham Jr. catching that 89-yard touchdown.
Oh,
yet.
That's still coming.
Still coming. Keep it here. Like I said, I exist to make you feel better about yourself, your life, and your teams.
It's Odell
your own,
who?
It's your own personal self-help show. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We got more on that coming up. Odell, when he hits the podium, you'll hear from him. You'll hear from Adam Gase. You'll hear from Baker Mayfield.
We will not hear from Adam Gase.
Why not?
Because he's too busy thinking about tacos. Come on.
He's all about one-liners and dismissing everybody
but
again.
Coming up next, two teams lost their quarterbacks for a long period of time in the NFL. Are they going to be okay without them? We'll tell you next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Call me Big Papa.
Can the Steelers survive without Ben Roethlisberger for the rest of the season? Can the Saints survive without Drew Brees for the next 6 weeks? You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically with no limit to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cashback Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. That's discover.com/cashback match. Don't worry, we'll have more on the Jets coming up in 10 minutes. This is the night America needs to jump up and down on the dead corpse of the New York Jets.
They suck.
And this will be that night to help you all feel better about yourselves.
The corpse. Stop, he's already dead.
I hope they're all dead.
Yeah, yeah.
But two other teams had their seasons irreparably changed, and the NFL season as we know it changed immensely with Ben Roethlisberger out for the season with an elbow injury, and Drew Brees missing at least the next 6 weeks with a thumb injury. So let's deal with Ben Roethlisberger first. Are the Steelers screwed without Roethlisberger? I think they'll be okay. They make the trade tonight for Minkah Fitzpatrick, and that will help them in their defensive issues. But is it going to be enough to get to the playoffs? They've already started 0-2. I get that they like Mason Rudolph, and he came in with a spark, and Roethlisberger had played terrible. But here's the thing. If you're excited about Mason Rudolph, you don't know about this guy. He's a second-round pick. You know, you need to make sure, how are we going to get our next quarterback if Roethlisberger is done? Because he will come back next year because he's owed too much money. So he's owed, but they can get out of his deal after 2020. So he'll come back next year, but you have to get that next quarterback. And is Mason Rudolph fit? You don't know. Is it worth it that Mason Rudolph plays okay and you win 5 or 6 games? Or should you just tank like the Dolphins and say, well, you know what? Next year, when it is rich in quarterbacks coming out of college football, hey, we're going to go get one of those guys, whether it's Tua or Fromm or Hurts or Herbert. We have to get one of those guys. That, if I was the Steelers, I'd say, you know, forget about that. It's time to tank. It's time to tank and say this, we got to go get our quarterback now, because Roethlisberger could be done.
It's tough, though, in that there are only 4 teams that started 2-0 in the AFC. Want to run through them real quick? I think you know 2 of them. You got KC. You got New England. You got Baltimore, so obviously you're chasing. And then there's the Bills.
And then there's the Bills.
And then there's the Bills. So we'll put the Bills off to the side for a moment, but you will be fighting them for a wild card game. Why? Because they're in the division with the Dolphins. And the Jets. So potential that you have there. But you still have a lot of talent on that team, right? And you're bringing Fitzpatrick in, not necessarily for this year, but still thinking Ben Roethlisberger's not done, even if he did struggle the first 6 quarters. The idea that you can still build the roster that when he's ready for whatever week it is in 2020, that you can make one more last run with him as the trigger man, I guess, is what they're saying here. And you bring in a guy like Fitzpatrick, who's probably the equivalent of what, a mid-first-round pick, which is probably where you're going to be, because you're not going to be awful. Because even look at the next 6 games.
No, like say, say in the last 14 games you go 6-8 or 7-7. Is that worth it to go 7-9?
Right, but how much, even if you don't make that trade, how much worse off are you?
I mean, you have Roethlisberger, and then you have your next quarterback.
Right, but you might not.
You have Jalen Hurts, or you have Justin Herbert.
But you might not be that bad. That's the thing, is you don't know. I mean, relative to the talent that they have, is still better than a lot of teams are going to play, even if you don't have the right quarterback.
Yeah, but you need a quarterback to succeed in the end. You're not going to win without a franchise guy. You have your chance.
When
you
have a chance to get your
franchise quarterback, you got to go get him. You know, you have a chance to get
him.
But
saying, hey, we're giving
him
up on the final 14 weeks of the season after an 0-2 start.
You know how many teams are giving up? The Dolphins gave up before the season started.
They're in a unique situation. They didn't have a lot of talent to begin with. right? Here you're still looking at skill positions. And for the Steelers, you look at their schedule in the next six: at San Francisco, then Cincinnati at home, Baltimore at home, Chargers here in L.A., and then Miami and Indianapolis. You can still win four of those six games.
You could, but you're already 0-2. You've already started poorly.
But even with Mason Rudolph, you're going to win.
You don't know. You don't know. Mason Rudolph certainly was a bit of a spark.
He may go 6-0. You don't know.
He could go 0-6, and then
absolutely right.
Now, but I think they're good enough to win a few games. I'm not as worried about the Saints because I think with Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, Sean Payton will finally get his due as the offensive genius that he is. And the Saints will stay afloat until he gets back. Even if they're 3-5 when Breeze gets back, I think that's okay. And they can easily win a couple of their next games. All they got to do is go .500 without Breeze, and I think they'll be okay.
Could be possible. I'm curious to see what Teddy Bridgewater is, though.
Yeah.
Why, as everybody says, look how young he was, and he was in the playoffs. That's a long time ago. We've had a lot of quarterbacks cycle through this NFL since Teddy Bridgewater was a playoff quarterback.
It's a long time ago.
It is. So, is he the same guy? Can that offense run? I'm not so sure.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, are on opposite sides of those things. Coming up next, hey, we're all on the same side of the Jets, the stinky side.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
You know, I woke up this morning, getting ready for the show tonight, getting my thoughts together and all things in the NFL. And I said to myself, you know, boy, at least I'm glad I'm not the Dolphins. Right? At least I'm glad I'm not the Dolphins.
See, mine usually ends at, I'm glad I woke up. Let's figure it
well,
out.
Well, that's always good. Yeah, but then you got to worry about your day, right? I mean, yeah. Look, I do the same thing. I get up, I get on the internet to make sure the world is still there, make sure everything is all right, and then I start my day, right? Then I start my day. And getting ready for the show, because obviously, okay, it looks like we're going to have the show tonight. Everything is all right. I go look and I go, at least I'm not the Dolphins, who have been outscored 102-10 the first 2 weeks of the regular season. And then here I am right now at 9:02 and 27 seconds Pacific Coast time saying, I'd rather be the Dolphins than the Jets. And this is just a change. This is a 12-hour change. I'd rather be the Dolphins than the Jets. Because what has happened? Well, in the course of the past 12 hours, the Dolphins pull off a huge trade. It broke about an hour and 20 minutes ago. Minka Fitzpatrick, very unhappy with the Miami Dolphins. Slot corner, one of the best slot corners in the game. The Steelers have decided to trade a first-round pick in exchange for him. All right, now we'll get into the Steelers' side of things in a little bit. But the Dolphins now own 3 first-round picks in the 2020 NFL Draft. Likely the number one overall pick as well. They have their own pick. They got the Texans' number one pick and the Steelers' number one pick. They also have 2 second-round picks, their own and the Saints. All right, now that's really good. Then you look at 2021, they have their own first-round pick, the Texans' first-round pick because that great trade Bill O'Brien made, and they also have the Texans' second-round pick in 2021. So in the next 2 years, they have 5 first-round picks and 4 second-round picks. They're going to completely remake their team. They're going to draft Tua Tagovailoa, who's going to be their franchise quarterback. And they're going to be in the Super Bowl in 2025 after Urban Meyer has coached USC for a little bit, won a national championship, and then shows up there to finish his illustrious coaching career.
That's pretty good.
And then that's the reality for the Dolphins, and now the Jets. They come into tonight without Sam Darnold, who is out for mononucleosis. Trevor Siemian, their backup quarterback, gets hurt end of the first quarter. And now the Jets are down to Luke Falk, who is a guy they signed just a couple of days ago, who spent time with them during training camp. How did they sign Luke Falk? Well, earlier in the day, the Jets wished one of their players happy birthday on Instagram and Twitter, and then had to delete the tweet because they released him a couple of hours later to make room for Luke Falk on the active roster.
Why would you delete it? You were still wishing the guy happiness.
Oh, sorry. Now we wish you horrible bad tidings.
Well, I mean, since we fired you and you're no longer here, you want to take the tweet back? Come on.
And the Jets put out an absolute blank show tonight. On Monday Night Football, losing to the Browns 23-3. They were not competitive. Adam Gase's play calling was ridiculous. He gave the Browns 3 points at the end of the first half. And oh, by the way, we top it off with this play. Greg Williams, who last week had his whole big Odell who press conference, and you think Odell's one of the best playmakers in the National Football League. Well,
Odell who?
What did Odell Beckham do in the fourth quarter? Really salt this game away after the Jets went for it on fourth down. And oh, by the way, a fourth down play. We're on fourth and two from the 12-yard line. The Jets threw a screen pass to Le'Veon Bell, who caught it 8 yards back of the line of scrimmage. That was the Jets' fourth and two play, the most Jets of Jets plays. So that play doesn't go. And as fans are streaming to the exits in MetLife, well, if you were going to a very specific exit, you got to run alongside Odell Beckham.
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium.
J-E-T-S, suck, 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 J-E-T-S, suck, suck, suck,
This goes on for a long time if you want to just sit there.
Are you going to lay some bass underneath that?
Do I need to just go home?
You can.
Can you somehow get a Stephen A. lay off the weed to this?
Off of this?
Oh, yeah. There's got to be some musical band you could do.
Weed!
Why? Jets fans need all the weed they can get after.
Yeah,
no, that is true.
Yeah.
They're trying to, you know, find whatever they can. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, 31 touches on the night, did have a huge fumble at the 8-yard line. Falk was 20 of 25, but doesn't result in points. Some solace, as much as the defense was on the field, because they lived down the field. Quinnen Williams not there. C.J. Mosley not there. Defensive backs disappeared. Marcus May, one of the worst angles on that Odell Beckham Jr. touchdown.
You pick your embarrassing moment from the Jets game tonight, and there's like 50 of them.
But defensively, they still did, overall, save two or three plays, a really good job. The third and 20, that the conversion for Jarvis Landry, that gave up the field goal at the end of the half. The 89-yard sprint to daylight, where it was the parting of the Red Sea in the defensive backfield, and a safety that tried to create an angle that I don't know what he saw, what he was thinking. Greg Williams got into it with Odell Beckham Jr. along the sideline, at least a little bit of jawing back and forth. All in, just a miserable night. But for those that are starting this was the long road back for the Browns. No, they were terrible. Baker Mayfield was bad tonight.
Yeah, it looked like he had a good night. He threw for, but this Jets, look, the Jets didn't play Trumaine Johnson tonight, who they gave a $72 million contract to the last offseason. And he is a typical quintessential player who's one of those, all getting paid, now I'm done. Because he has disappeared since signing that contract. And he didn't play tonight because he was a DNPCD. It wasn't disciplinary. He just stunk. Adam Gase said we just decided not to play him tonight. This is how bad things are. I mean, you could pick from your list of things, what's the most embarrassing things from the Jets tonight? It'd be like a top 15 list. I can't fit it on the 280 characters on Twitter. It's not that big enough. I need more time. I need more space. I need more everything.
Yeah, it was an embarrassment of embarrassments, right? Normally it's the embarrassment of riches. Yeah. No, here it was just one thing after another. I will say this. They did at least draw four penalties, maybe five, from Myles Garrett.
Yeah. He
offsides a couple of roughing the passer penalties.
Knocked Trevor Siemian out of the game with what could be a very serious ankle injury. Yeah. A couple of times he got flagged for that. So he was probably the Jets' best offensive player, too, because he resulted in like plus 30 net yards
for the Jets.
That is true. Maybe plus 40 net yards for the Jets.
Either way, the second hit, particularly one that the league will be sending him a nice pink envelope to make a donation to the charitable fund for roughing the passer. And the question then becomes, how many flags do you get to have thrown on you? I mean, I know we had Garrett Bowles with his four holding penalties against Chicago, but when two of them are roughing the passer penalties and both are pretty egregious in terms of the force and driving the quarterback through the turf, something's got to be done in the league office.
This was a night where I have decided to be here for you.
You're looking like a punching bag.
I am
tenderized.
I'm okay.
You're like Rocky hitting the meat.
You know,
in this case, you're the meat.
It took me a long time in Pam and my relationship because we both like to talk a lot. We both are very outgoing. It took me a while to realize that there's times when my wife just wants to vent to me about something or when she's looking for advice. Because there's sometimes when she's upset about something and I try to solve the problem for her and she just, and I could tell, okay, now she just wants to vent. Took me a while to get to that spot where I realized, oh, this is, she just needs to vent about this. And needs me to say, yes, I can't, that's terrible. Oh, but you know, what are you going to do? But there's sometimes where she tells me something and now I know, okay, this is where she's looking for my advice to try to help her with. And I'm at that point where I've realized, you know what? I am just going to be here tonight because clearly tonight is a pile on the Jets night. When you look at Twitter and you see Baker and Odell trending with about 58,000 tweets in the past few minutes about them. Right? Now that's a pretty good number. Jets has 300,000 tweets about them in the past few minutes.
So this none is of them where, good, though.
No, none of them are. None of them are.
Not one.
Well, they're good if you're about another team that's excited about their team and it's about the Jets.
About
that's
upcoming
good.
Scheduling events,
yes.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Here's Le'Veon Bell. Quote, it wasn't the quarterback play. Says Jets were doomed by penalties, drops, shaky pass protection, his fumble, basically across the board, and was very frustrated
says,
as a blocker.
Jets were doomed when their franchise was announced in 1965. I mean, look, I'm here for you. Because as bad as things are, you could be a Steelers fan, things aren't as bad as they are with the Jets. You could be a Saints fan, things not as bad with
or
the Jets.
Or a Dolphins fan.
You could be a Dolphins fan, not as bad. No, you got a better future than the Jets. Because the Jets have found a way to fool everybody to think they could contend when they have horrible defensive backs, a defensive line that can't get to the quarterback, and a horrible offensive line. I mean, really, it's amazing that that's what you put together and decide, okay, we think we're a contender. Amazing. But don't take my word for it. Let's hear from genius Adam Gase, who now I'm ready to move on from him after 2 weeks, too. And this is not just me knee-jerk. I've not liked anything I've seen from the Adam Gase era the first 2 weeks. Let's hear from him as he talked after the game about Trumaine Johnson, the Jets not scoring, all of that crap. Let's hear Adam Gase.
I tell you what, you see that part where Daniel George come in there and talk about taking his own burp and crying.
I love Doc Ong about that, Mama.
I tell you what.
Especially Al Pastor.
Dang old New York boys. It's a show about nothing.
The Carney's a great too.
That was pretty good.
I like that.
And thanks. I'm just picturing Adam Gase saying it and his eyes flying all around looking for tacos. Now, here's the real Adam Gase with his thoughts on the night.
I tell you what you do. You just take them dang old spark plugs out in that little hole. You just put a little hole around there. Just like Bobby Unser said, just so I could go.
That's why we didn't play Tremaine like Johnson tonight.
You got a Bobby Unser line in there.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Now, here's the real Adam Gase talking about the Jets' loss to the Browns this evening.
You know, I've been thinking about y'all and y'all dang old bottom and all what's going to get moving again. I think y'all ought to go jogging and swimming in a water bunch, man. They're going to be bad having you pooping just like you used to, man. I know it's going to work.
Now, wait a minute. Now, that was Greg Williams, okay?
Yeah,
that was
my
Greg
bad.
Williams. Come
my
on, tight
bad.
Shirt.
My bad.
You know, I can't throw to that and you play the wrong guy, all right?
How do you know?
This is not one of those slap blank shows, right? You got to just,
wow.
You know, you got to play the right sound. All right, here is the real Adam Gase talking about the game tonight and the loss.
We're going to get snackered. I tell you what, boy, man, I want to get Ole Miss up and just pollute our mind with a three sheets of dang old wind, man.
Okay.
That really sums up Adam Gase's night pretty well, I think.
Look, we'll hear from Adam Gase coming up in a few minutes.
I've been calling y'all people better than a month now.
All right, keep it down, Gase.
Don't cross these star yapping at y'all 24 hours a day. Nobody answered. How are you supposed to come out and do anything about that dog if you're just going to get a damn computer and going to come over here and just shut that dang old dog up?
He's a little upset, so we'll let him calm down.
Well,
we'll hear from him in a couple of minutes.
Frustrating night.
But this is the thing about Adam Gase, and this is what I was worried about, is that Adam Gase went from offensive genius, who was going to be the next great head coach in the NFL, and he gets a job with the Dolphins, and what happened at the end? A lot of his players hated him, and he was very abrasive. But he gets the big okay and the blessing from Peyton Manning, and the Jets need an offensive coach to come in, and they hire Adam Gase. But you can't just forget about how he did not accomplish anything in Miami outside of beating the Jets more than he beat anybody else. So the Jets give him the job. And when you fail, because he failed, and when you get another chance right away, you don't really learn from your mistakes because you just think, well, see, they didn't know what they were doing. Look at me. I got a better job now with a better team, a better quarterback. Now I'm all set to go. And you repeat those same mistakes. And I'm watching the way the games gone the past 2 weeks, and Gase had no answers offensively because he's an offensive genius. And he had no answers offensively, no way to figure out let's change things up as the Bills play really good defense on us. And it's the same kind of quick hit plays and Darnold telegraphing them. They knew the plays were coming because Darnold had all his passes knocked down at the line of scrimmage. Then tonight, when it's a different quarterback in Simeon and then a different quarterback in Luke Falk, there was no creativity. There was no, hey, let's do something to make it easier. It's just, let's look for Le'Veon Bell on every bleeping play. And of course, because the Browns have spies on him everywhere he goes, that's not going to work. When you fit, even Bill Belichick got fired, realized, okay, defensive coordinator with the Jets now, I learn from my mistakes when I go coach the Patriots. Now I tape everybody's plays and everything is good. But when you have a chance, you have a little bit of humility and go, okay, I got to change a little bit of how I've done things. And Adam Gase is not. He went right from failure and, boy, I really need to straighten up and, oh, I'm getting the job with the Jets. Okay, great. That's what's going to happen. And I mean, I don't see anything where things can have even gone close to being right in the Adam Gase era with the Jets. Should be a Bears fan like you, buddy. Should be the Bears.
Come on board.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. When it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need to get to your short list of qualified candidates fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Your time is precious, so let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates and discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. That's Indeed.com/hire. Coming up next, we got more on this game. You'll hear from the particulars. Odell, Baker, Gase, Le'Veon Bell demanding a trade. I mean, probably. But a big trade went down in the NFL tonight that just says as much about Ben Roethlisberger as it does about who they traded for. Steelers make a big move. We'll have it next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, man!
Live from the Geico Studios. You know, we're going to hear from Baker Mayfield coming up in a couple minutes, but big trade went down in the middle of the Monday night game tonight, in which the Dolphins traded Minkah Fitzpatrick, slot corner, to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who gave up a first-round pick for Fitzpatrick. Yes, Minkah Fitzpatrick, not Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's who the Jets will give up a first-round pick for to get him to play now because their Jets are playing Luke Falk.
Sure they can't trade him to Bill O'Brien?
So they make this trade, and the Steelers give up a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. We talked earlier this hour about the Dolphins now. Three first-round picks in 2020, two more in 2021. They got 2 seconds this year, 2 seconds the year after. They're going to remake their team. It's going to be Tua Tagovailoa, and it's going to be great. But the Steelers' side of it, they lose Roethlisberger for the season with his elbow injury. And it's basically a Tommy John-type injury. Mm-hmm. You don't know when he's going to come back. Is it going to be ready for next year? Is it going to be? And he's got one more year left on his deal. You're looking at next year basically being the end of Ben Roethlisberger's contract. It's not the end of his deal. It's where the Steelers can get out of it, right? There's too much money involved for Roethlisberger to walk away or for the Steelers to walk away from him next year. There's too much dead cap money. It's over $25 million. So it's too much. So he will come back and get the chance to be the quarterback next year as long as he's healthy. But after that, you need your quarterback. Mason Rudolph was nice yesterday. He was a bit of a spark. Roethlisberger was terrible the first game and a half until mm-hmm. he got hurt. Maybe telling you that, okay, this might be more than just a bad start. Maybe Roethlisberger's done after he's in his late 30s now.
But the question is how bad was that elbow before, right?
Yeah.
A couple of players came out and said he'd had inflammation for at least this past week, if not longer. Right, so something that didn't appear on the injury report either. So the NFL is going to be raising their hand, going, "Hey, what's the deal over here?" If you got people talking out of turn, saying that has actually been an issue, so maybe he came into the season as damaged goods. Thus, talking about your point in terms of when that clock expires on him.
So if that clock is close, and it looks like it is, they drafted Mason Rudolph in the second round because, okay, is he going to wind up being a backup? Can he be a great? they don't know that he could be a good starting quarterback in the NFL, because if they thought he was going to be great, they would have drafted him earlier. That's with any quarterback. If teams thought he was going to be great, they would have drafted him earlier. You have to make sure that you go get your quarterback of the future when you can. This coming April, there's going to be at least four, maybe five quarterbacks who are going to go in the top 10 of the NFL draft. Right? It's going to be led by Tua. It's going to be Jake Fromm. It's going to be Justin Herbert. You're going to have Jalen Hurts probably in there as well. I mean, there's going to be a target-rich environment of quarterbacks, but you have to draft high enough to be able to get them. Is it really worth it to say, hey, we're going to go all in on Mason? You're 0-2. You're not 2-0, and you lost Roethlisberger, and still things are still looking good. You're 0-2, and you're facing another game you could lose on Sunday as well. So you're staring at 0-3. And is it worth it to go 6-10? The NFL has shown you it is not. Just like the NBA, going 6-10, 7-9 doesn't help you. What helps you is sucking and tanking and getting that quarterback when he's available, because you don't know what 2021 is going to look like. Everybody's going to want Trevor Lawrence, but is he going to be the only guy? And if he's the only guy, unless you're picking first, you're not going to get him. So you have to look out for your future. If I was the Steelers, my philosophy would be hold on to that first round pick. It may stink, and you may have – what's a better situation for you going into next season? Roethlisberger and maybe Mason Rudolph, not knowing how good he's going to be, or Roethlisberger and Jake Fromm, Roethlisberger and Justin Herbert? That's a better situation. Roethlisberger and Jalen Hurts, that's a better situation. To go and then trying to go and trying to squeeze out six or seven wins in the last 14 games.
So he was the sixth quarterback taken in last year's draft, number five in the first round. And then Rudolph was the 12th pick of the third round by the Steelers. They added James Washington in the second. So a little bit of a nucleus pushing forward. And Washington, a guy, great expectations this year that he would ascend alongside Vance McDonald, who was the star on Sunday's effort. They've got nothing from the ground game from James Conner at this point. So everything that was supposed to be pointing in the right direction for the Steelers as far as their offensive personnel has failed. Jalen Samuels probably going to get the nod, at least a bigger workload share out of the backfield behind Rudolph this coming week. So when we look at the success early on of those five guys from the first round of last year's draft, it's all worked out pretty well, except Mono with Sam Darnold. And Josh Rosen, who can't catch a break.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar.
I feel bad for is because the Dolphins get him, and it looks like in the offseason it's, well, hey, this could be our quarterback of the future. But now you realize that was a smokescreen to say we wanted to make it look like we're trying. And let's just say things go, and Josh Rosen is great. Well, then we've got our quarterback. But if not, at least we've shown the fans that we look like we're trying when we're completely tanking. So now Rosen's going to go out there. At some point, he's going to be starting. And he's going to go out there and just get drilled for 14 or 15 weeks. And then at the end of the season, it's going to be, thanks, Josh, we're moving on, and you're going to go try to restart your future with another team. And at that point, Rosen's a backup.
Well,
and he's going into nowhere with a chance to start.
Well, and whoever picks him up still has a nothing contract, right? I mean, because he's still on a rookie deal for another couple of years. So you have that opportunity. But when you're talking about the 0-2, you've only got four teams sitting at 2-0 in the AFC. Two of them you presumed in terms of Kansas City and New England, fine. And then you have the Baltimore Ravens. We still don't know what they are. We presume they're better, right? And Lamar Jackson has been shown that he could pass out of the pocket. They got a much stiffer test from the Cardinals in week two than most anticipated. But to this point, have they played a real defense? No. So I think we're liking what we see on a large scale, but still the jury's out. And then you got the Buffalo Bills. So, all right, let's assume you're fighting with the Bills for a wild card slot at this point. They get 0-2 too early to give up the farm and just say, hey, we're punting towards next year.
You know, I think in years past, I'd agree with you, but it's different in the NFL now. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not going anywhere. You can't build a team around, hey, we're good, solid at running back, we're solid at wide receiver, we got a good offensive line. You got to have a quarterback.
Well, but that's the problem.
And this is the best chance to get one.
But you don't know that Mason Rudolph's not that guy.
But I mean, you don't know that he is.
No, but you're also presuming any of those top five. So you punt a full year that you may still be good enough with some of your weaponry.
If he is good enough, then you still have a really high draft pick to get a great running back or a wide receiver or an offensive lineman. But instead, you traded away for Minka Fitzpatrick, who's a pretty good slot
corner.
He's only
in his second year and has years on his deal.
But is he a huge difference maker? You don't know. This Steelers team obviously has problems because, look, they're 0-2. They lost week one and weren't competitive against the Patriots. And they, look, you are what you are. You're 0-2. You have problems. And now Mason Rudolph has to get used to. They have to get used to him. He's got to get used to the weapons. And instead of coming into the offseason with, all right, now Mason Rudolph, and if we like him, we can get a really high pick because we're picking fifth. We can get a really good player. Now it's, now we're not getting anybody. And better hope Mason Rudolph
is the guy.
But
maybe the defense is that much better when you look at what they add in him to the division. Still go and beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Still take care of business in division. You still got a shot. I don't think punting, except if you're the Jets,
punt.
The Dolphins, and a couple of teams are worth it.
Punt it.
You're just in love with all these young college quarterbacks. Why? Because you're thinking about the next one for your Jets already.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up in 90 seconds, here from Odell Beckham Jr.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So, with the Browns' win tonight, we spent a lot of this from the Jets' perspective, because obviously tonight is a pile on the Jets' night. I understand that that's what tonight is about. But what about Baker Mayfield, who met the media following the dominant Browns' victory because the Jets just stunk so bad and the Browns just stunk a little bit less than the Jets? What did he have to say, weighing in on Greg Williams' Odell who comment, in which Odell Beckham Jr. followed up with an 89-yard touchdown catch to salt away the victory tonight? Let's hear from Baker.
The touchdown pass and how it worked with Odell, and what you saw on the field, the RPO that you kind of got out of him.
Yeah, so RPO, like you said, but cover two shell, just reading the mic and knowing that the nickel's playing in between number three and two and that he's going to have speed down the alley. So just really giving a token fake and getting the ball in his hands, just making sure to give that ball to him when he can keep on the move. Rest is all on him. That's why you give him the ball.
You didn't even think about it. You just released it back and you could hit it.
Yeah, no, just seeing the kind of the displacement before the snap. And when we hopped the back over to the other side, linebackers kind of bumped over, so knowing that I had an even bigger window, and he made the play.
Before that play, was it difficult going for the offense, do you think?
We absolutely need to play better. I think that's the biggest thing, is not losing sight of that a win is a win. Especially on the road, and we needed this one. But, field goals early on, we'll take points, but at the same time, we need to be able to finish those drives. And so, we need to play better. A little frustrating at times. I think, I'll be able to look at this film and get a lot better from it.
Baker, this week, New York's defensive coordinator suggested that Odell is not a dynamic playmaker. Do you feel like he showed otherwise tonight?
He said that?
Yes.
Jesus. That's next question. Not a dynamic football player.
Just okay. Throw down the sideline on the one hand.
All right, wait. Let's stop it right there. All right,
because in print, Jesus. You don't get the sarcasm.
Really?
You don't
No.
get the snark. You don't get the disgust.
Now, here's the thing: did Baker Mayfield know that's what Greg Williams said about? Of course he did.
Of course.
I mean, I like the whole. Really, he said that.
Jeez. He doesn't pay attention to the outside. Come on.
Right. He's not a big social media guy. He doesn't know.
Well, Adam Gase claimed he didn't pay attention to it either.
Yeah, but Adam Gase, I get.
No, I mean, that's dopey, and that's grounds for firing, too.
Well, Adam
Gase. If your defensive coordinator's popping off
what
like
I'm saying
ass.
Is, I get Adam Gase saying that because that's his personality. But Baker Mayfield, who lives and dies on social media,
right,
can't tell
enough.
Me he doesn't know about that. Like, I don't believe either of them, but Adam Gase can at least go, I'm all about football.
Are you calling him a liar?
I'm football. I'm about football.
Me, yes.
I'm all about football.
How dare you?
But there's no way Baker Mayfield didn't know that.
Yeah, both of them.
But
absolutely.
Clearly, and the thing about Greg Williams saying Odell who and Odell Beckham coming through here with his 89-yard touchdown catch. Is it? Look, it was the right strategy last week. It was the right strategy to question and get into a war of words with Odell Beckham Jr. because it took pressure off of Trevor Siemian preparing for his first start. Now, when Siemian got hurt, things got bad really fast. And look, did Odell Beckham Jr., was that play one that made the game? No, it just put an icing on the cake. Because make no mistake about it, tonight was embarrassing for the Jets. The Browns didn't solve their issues. Okay, the Browns did not play very well tonight. They played well defensively, but you're playing against a really bad offensive line and a quarterback who was taking his first snaps in the NFL. You're supposed to play this well. Mayfield missed a lot of plays. All right, he got balls deflected. They had trouble in the first half when the Jets' defense was fresh, but then you're out on the field for the entire game. Of course, things are going to open up a little bit more. But the Browns didn't play. The Browns didn't solve any of their problems tonight. The Browns won a game against a team that clearly was inept. And at least from a mental standpoint, it makes you feel good. The Browns feel like, okay, we solved everything, but they've solved nothing. They still have the same issues they had last week. They just happened to play one of the three worst teams in the National Football League tonight. And that's what happened, and they won this game. But they didn't solve any of their problems. And I'm stunned at the number of people going, yeah, Browns got our win, got the win. Freddie, now we're rolling. No, you still have a lot of issues because you did not play well.
Baker made two big throws on the night. He completed 50% of his passes, right? And one of them was an Odell Beckham Jr. one-handed catch to set up the first field goal, right? He had to leave because of the tint in the visor. But, I mean, that was a good throw, but a better catch. But we'll give him that one. And then you have the 25-yard completion to Jarvis Landry in the final minute of the first half to tack on another field goal. The pass to Odell Beckham Jr. was an 11-yard toss. Caught him in stride, and well, your Jets defense fell asleep. Still 9 penalties on the night. Still some issues on the offensive line. A number of missed throws, wide open receivers out in the flat towards the edges that Mayfield just flat out missed those throws and had opportunities. Still finishes with a 325-yard day. So no folks that didn't watch this game are going to go, yeah, he was brilliant. Look at the numbers that he came through. 4 of 13 on third downs. Against a bad Jets defense as well. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that
the defense wasn't so bad. Look, the defense played better than I expected considering they have nobody that can cover any wide receivers.
But that's what I mean, is that they did their job against this vaunted offense, right? And Njoku went to the locker room early, so you lose a tight end as a potential receiver down the seams and red zone situations as well. Okay, so you have that from the Cleveland side. But there were a lot of opportunities, and the Jets held their own. Except for falling asleep on the 89-yard touchdown pass. Otherwise, they played pretty well. If you can hold them to field goals, you're feeling pretty good. And until, you know, the Le'Veon Bell fumble as he's going towards a red zone possession, you still feel, not that they're in the game, but from a scoreboard perspective, they're still hanging around. I mean, they're not dead. Not that you were expecting a big barrage of points, but they never really got the big turnover. They did have one interception off a tip on a ball that Mayfield tried to force into Odell Beckham Jr. But overall, you know, Cleveland didn't solve anything. I'm still not convinced, as I wasn't coming into the season.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Jeez, he said that? Jeez. We got Odell Beckham coming up in about 15 minutes. Wanted to play Baker Mayfield for you there first. We talked about playing him for you a few minutes ago. But coming up next, we had the big trade tonight. The Steelers trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Now, arguably the best cornerback in the NFL wants a trade. What's he going to be worth? Hey, we'll break it down for you next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm going back to old guys.
The slide over baby hour pre-show. Pros do it right to save 5% or more every day by shopping at Lowe's. In-store or online, save 5% on eligible purchases just by using your Lowe's business credit account. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Subject to credit approval, cannot be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only. That is 5% more every day by shopping at Lowe's. So, we saw the big trade earlier tonight. Minkah Fitzpatrick goes to the Steelers. The Steelers trade a first-round pick for the disgruntled Dolphins cornerback. Is it? Can you be gruntled? Is that, like, if you're a gruntled player, does that mean you feel good and you're happy? Like, disgruntled means you're not happy.
Yeah.
If you're happy,
Gruntled is pleased, satisfied, and contented.
Okay. So I want to say,
I don't know that anybody's ever used the
term gruntled.
I'm
going to start using gruntled. That is, you know, he's a gruntled
player.
Every
time I come into the studio, I'm a gruntled
son of a gun for
4 hours.
You mean disgruntled? No, I'm gruntled. Gruntled is a word. I'm glad we can say that now.
See, we've never looked it up. We've often looked at each other and said, hey, what's the deal?
Hey, Cowboys gruntled quarterback Dak Prescott.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You can't say that.
Sure I can.
Well,
can't
say it with the Cowboys.
He can in 10 minutes.
You're going to get fine Jerry bucks.
He's got to find a way to pay Dak. He keeps playing good against really bad teams. So the other trade that could go down, if it just became a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick, what's going to be the price tag for Jalen Ramsey? Ramsey wants out of Jacksonville after his big dust-up on the sideline yesterday with Doug Marrone. Says he's had it now, wants out. And Jalen Ramsey is, at worst, the second or third best cornerback in the NFL. Is the price now two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey? Because remember, he wants to get paid. And when you pay a guy, that goes along with it. So maybe a first and a third, maybe a first and a second it winds up being for Jalen Ramsey. But for everybody who thinks Jalen Ramsey is going to solve your problems, as good as he is, the guy's been a headache since day one, right? He walked in the league as a rookie, and he's been someone who has not been shy about ripping wide receivers and finding himself in the middle of controversy, right? That's kind of who he is. So you have to deal with that the entire time that you have Jalen Ramsey. So, okay, I could maybe deal. But then realize something like this. You're going to have to pay him. And Trumaine Johnson was just paid by the Jets in the last offseason. $72 million to sign him away from the Rams. And he was going to be the lockdown cornerback the Jets needed. He was going to be the linchpin to the new defense. Mostly they ever spent on a defensive player up until this season when they signed C.J. Mosley. And he was so bad last year. It was, can he be a bounce-back guy this year? Tonight, didn't play until the fourth quarter, and that was only because one of the players the Jets had got hurt. He wasn't benched for disciplinary reasons. The Jets just decided not to play him because he stunk so bad last week, which he did. He couldn't cover John Brown. You can't one-on-one cover a Jag wide receiver, and I mean just a guy wide receiver. I mean, where should you be in the National Football League? So here's someone who was the one of the best, and he got paid, and he disappeared. Absolutely disappeared.
Evidently today did a good acting job after the game. Or he really doesn't know, because he was asked about, well, what happened? And he said he didn't know why he didn't see the field today. And said,
let me tell
you, because
you stunk last week.
And then he wants, well, but that may be part of the deal is you got coaches that are, and Greg Williams was too busy fanning the flames against Odell Beckham Jr. Adam Gase pretending he doesn't know what's going on. Because remember, after last week, he blamed everybody but himself for anything in that game against Buffalo. So you can't dismiss that. So part of that, I mean, as much as Johnson may be struggling, you don't even exactly have a stable coaching environment going on there to roll through. But he gave the reporters nothing and says he wants to meet with the coaches about it.
Well, and that's the thing is that here's how bad it can go when you give a guy a lot of money who is a loose cannon. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen once you pay somebody. And when there are warning signs there, you realize, all right, maybe we can't pay him. When you're about the headlines and this, can you really trust that Jalen Ramsey is going to be okay, that you can pay him and things are going to be fine and you're not going to deal with knuckleheaded stuff like this? I mean, look, you're at the point now where not only does Jalen Ramsey want to be traded, he probably will be traded. Doug Marrone's going to get fired. And you have had now upheaval in your entire organization because a guy you want to trade for is basically getting the head coach fired at some point and he finds his own way out of the team. All right, that's a guy you want to bring in?
Hey, Doug Marrone may quit before it's all said and done, because we've seen him do that before.
No, his dream job was head coach of Syracuse. Oh, the Bills want me?
Sorry, I thought I'd throw that one up for you and just lob you so you can hit it.
Look, but I'm not saying Doug Marrone's a great coach, but realize that what Jalen Ramsey has brought is unrest, and your coach is going to wind up getting fired, and you're going to wind up on a different team, and you want to bring that into your locker room? Anytime you see a guy out, there's a reason why guys are out there.
Well, he started camp by bringing a half-ass hype man and a Brinks truck to a crowd of seven assembled saying he needs more money.
It may have been 10 people.
It might have gotten to double digits, but really a bad effort to try to organize and try to rally.
Caveat emptor when it comes to Jalen Ramsey.
How do you vet whether he still wants to play football?
That's the thing.
There's your question.
I'm telling you from experience, don't repeat my own mistakes. Jet Coming joke. Up next, you'll hear from Odell Beckham Jr. Odell who?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome inside. Slide over, baby hour.
Oh, got to make yourself feel better after that beatdown.
Tell you what, there are going to be a lot of New York Jets babies born 9 months from tonight because in the middle of the third quarter, it's let's shut this thing off and have sex. I'm done watching this team.
There's no
something to be happy. Said for that.
Nobody's hooking up with a Jets fan tonight.
So I was
nobody.
I was conceited. No, I mean Jets fans hooking up with each other.
No, not even that.
No, no, that yeah, that's really what it is.
Too
that's
miserable. It.
Everybody's searching for love.
There's no.
You may be looking in all the wrong places.
Jets fans and Giants fans aren't getting together.
Oh,
no,
the
no,
Giants
no.
are better than the
no,
Jets.
No, stop. They stink too.
At least they have Eli.
No, that's pretty good, Frostburg. I like that one.
Just a boy, Eli.
Look, the Jets lose tonight to the Browns. In embarrassing fashion, 23-3, and you don't need to know any more than that other than the fact that of all the top trending topics on Twitter, the Jets are number one with almost 300,000 tweets coming every few minutes, right? Odell Beckham's a big deal. Baker Mayfield's a big deal with 70,000 tweets a minute. No, but the Jets, this is a night to jump up and down on the dead corpse that is the New York Jets, right? That's what it is.
There's no coming back from this.
No, there's not. Look. One thing that people like to do, whether it's sports fans or in life, more than celebrating their own success, is to make fun of the lack of success of somebody else. I mean, everybody has some sort of satisfaction when they hear somebody they don't like is not doing well. Ah, it serves that son of a such and so forth. Yeah, he thinks he's so hot. But then there's just, you know what? My team is not playing well. I'm a Steelers fan. I'm a Saints fan, I got a lot of things going wrong. I'm a Dolphins fan. You know, hey, oh, I'm glad to see there's a team more embarrassing than me, the New York Jets, because that's what they are. You cannot escape your identity. And the Jets' identity for the entire time I've been alive has been they are a blank show and they are a complete embarrassment. How I'm a Jets fan, I should have grown up watching football with my uncles who were Giants fans. Instead, I grew up watching football with my grandfather who was a Jets fan. The Jets happened to be good in 1981, 1982, and that's my life.
But is that still Richard Todd?
That was Richard Todd. That was
he had good hair, and he kind of looked like Roger Waters.
Yeah, he did a little bit.
It's so, the only connection they feel.
TJ, so you think you can tell heaven from being a Jets fan, TJ. And sometimes that's what the best part of a night is that somebody else can be there for you to feel better about yourself. And that's what I am tonight. I am that self-help guru, the very rare self-help guru who doesn't need to say anything other than how bad my team is. Because that's going to make you feel better.
They suck.
I don't need to sit here and tell you, hey, you got to get on that treadmill. You got to wake up in the morning. You don't need to be that power of positive thinking.
Do it!
The show we watch, Dead Like Me, where James Marsden wakes up to a guy saying, this is your day. You have to go out and seize it. No, I don't even need that.
And walk across hot coals.
Make your dreams come true.
Yeah, there's no need for that. Just know that, oh, I'm listening to Jason and Mike, and Jason's a big Jets fan, and boy, his sports life absolutely sucks right now because Syracuse stinks. The Mets basically got eliminated tonight, and boy, the Jets are such a big embarrassment. So just know that just by hearing my voice, you are automatically feeling better.
That does help.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Right. It is a push forward. Your team, one of the other 31, isn't nearly this bad.
No. Look,
because everybody still has a plan, right?
Yes.
So before people start screaming, what about the Dolphins?
No, Dolphins have a plan.
They have a direction. Right, I've told my kids since they were little, move with purpose and direction in your life. Right, don't meander on the way to school, just go to school. On the way home, just get home. Get into your homework, leave the TV off, leave the radio off, just get it done. Then you got the rest of your night to do whatever the hell you want. So move with purpose and direction. Your Jets,
they're just
kind of wandering.
We're just moving.
Oh, look, squirrel. Yeah. And go chase the squirrel for a minute.
Yeah.
And then you get sucked in. Hey, what's that floating in the drainage? Well, let's go take a look at that. Might be Pennywise. You don't know.
Usually it is Pennywise.
But the fact of the matter is, everybody at least seems to have some direction and some bit of glimmer of hope. You got nothing.
Oh, no, I got nothing.
You got
at least
sharp
the Dolphins,
stick in the eye.
Look, the Dolphins traded tonight. They traded Minkah Fitzpatrick, and they're getting a first-round pick from the Steelers. They have three first-round picks in April. One of them is going to be Tua Tagovailoa. So they're completely restarting their team. They have more hope in a plan than the Jets, because I don't know what the Jets' plan is. I don't know what Adam Gase's plan is.
Their plan is to suck.
He had a really bad offense last week. Well, if that's their plan.
And they are excelling, let me tell you.
If that's their plan, they're doing well.
Well, then, you know, you achieve what you're setting out for.
But look, you know, look, Frostberg is a perfect example. He's walking around all day going, oh, Eckler fumble.
No, actually,
Rivers.
I never mentioned his name once
Rivers.
Today.
Yeah, it's Rivers intercept. But it's in your head.
No,
Rivers
it actually
interception.
Isn't.
Eckler fumble. And then the Jets go, and he's like, ha, ha, hey, Jets, yo. And I'm getting texts every 5 minutes. I have made him feel better about his team because he is now able to just jump up and down in the dead corpse
of
the New York
Jets.
Nah, I
just blamed
like
it on
me.
The nuns.
Yeah, it's
their fault.
The nuns.
Dude, you got to watch out for that, man.
Do I really, though?
Yeah,
no.
God's not going to like that,
if
man.
If they weren't at the game,
you.
We'd probably have won.
Yeah, but you don't want to go blaming nuns for stuff.
They got to have more sex.
Wow. You're really going to hell, Frostberg.
I mean,
wow.
It is a slide over baby.
Wow. That's like three fumbles for Eckler on Sunday.
There are a lot of folks that, you know, contend that if you change some things in the church, maybe you'd have some other things changed in the church. But
the church, you got to move with direction and purpose. You're not moving with direction and purpose, church.
No, they spent a lot of time circling back to things to make sure that those were buried.
And now here's In the Garden of Eden by Iron Butterfly.
But yeah, I mean, we did see a lot of the gifts of the nuns post-Chargers Lions.
But let's realize that this makes everybody feel better. Right? Everybody feels better about themselves because of the complete blank show the Jets are. Now, look, and I tell you this because I'm going to give you a list of the most embarrassing things from tonight's game, and I'm going to run out of time. Okay? So you had Trumaine Johnson, who the Jets, again, I say it again because the money is a big deal. They gave him $72 million last offseason to be their shutdown corner. Benched tonight because he just wasn't good enough. No disciplinary reason, no disciplinary action. No. He wasn't good enough to play, and the Jets were terrible. You had the Jets losing Trevor Siemian to an ankle injury, and Luke Falk had to play. You had Odell Beckham Jr. and his 89-yard touchdown after Greg Williams played the Odell Who last week. You had Marcus May deciding, I don't want to tackle Odell Beckham on that 89-yard touchdown run, running away from him,
that was
which
embarrassing.
Is embarrassing.
No, the angle that he tried to take was confusing at best and a cut-worthy event at worst.
You had Adam Gase's play calling, which was terrible, which gave the Browns 3 points at the end of the first half for reasons passing understanding. You had Susie Kalber throwing to a Joe Namath story at halftime of the game.
Yeah.
How embarrassing was that? And Susie, you're going to throw to a Joe Namath story.
It's the last time they were relevant.
I'm going to throw to Joe. Okay. And then you had that halftime show with.
That was awful. I don't know what that was.
I need some kind of music that's going to get me excited for the second half. That was great Jets music at halftime.
But he didn't even have to pretend to play. It was a pre-recorded drum beat.
Oh.
And he stood there like he was doing some kind of wizardry.
And you finish it out with this, that in the span of 12 hours, I went from waking up this morning going, boy, I'm glad I'm not a Dolphins fan, to now, boy, I wish I was a Dolphins fan, because the Dolphins have a better plan and a better future than the Jets. The Dolphins have three first-round picks this year. They got two next year. They're going to have their franchise quarterback. The Jets have, who knows, their offensive line stinks, their defensive backs stink, and their defensive line, as talented as it is, can't get after the quarterback. How do you have three of the six positions on offense and defense stink that badly? A lot of that is Mike Maccagnan, former GM of the Jets. That shows you how horrible a GM he was. And I told you from the beginning this guy was horrible. But it's not like you've made it better. Adam Gase is yelling at his own players after last week's game. And now he's had nothing to help the team tonight when they needed to bring in a new quarterback. His bad play calling. Last week not having anything in the fourth quarter to combat the Bills playing good defense. The Jets have nothing. I don't know how I can look at the positive of this. I really don't know.
But as you get into a game plan, I mean, elementary football, if you've got a quarterback who hasn't played in a while, right? It's been a long time since Trevor Siemian was under center with regularity for the Broncos. And then you look at Luke Falk as your number three getting elevated. But even with Siemian under center, you got to figure they're going to release the hounds, man. And all dog references here for the dog pound and the good folks of Cleveland. The fact is that they were at the line, and they were going to do everything they were could to attack. The fact that it was the parting of the Red Seas by an awful bad offensive line. When you say offensive, it really speaks well for what the Jets were putting up, because there was no blocking, no effort, and Myles Garrett certainly played through the whistle and then some, played through the end of the play. A couple of sacks, the roughing the passer penalties, certainly changing the complexion of a lot of things. And at one point, after the first, the joke in the radio call was, well, there's the first positive yardage for the Jets. They had to sacrifice Trevor Siemian for it.
Oh, yeah.
Little did you know that he'd be out of the game with MRIs and further testing and questions of availability for the rest of the year before it was all said and done. But, you know, you joked before the season started going, okay, it could go well, but I have questions about the line. Mm-hmm. I have questions about the secondary. Yeah. And I have questions. And boom, if all of them didn't come to bear, and you don't even have the growth or perceived growth of Sam Darnold to put lipstick on the pig, and signing Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley, again, just Band-Aids with high price tags. And Le'Veon Bell balled out with his 30-plus touches, but even he can't get away from the stink with his giveaway at the 8-yard line.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Now, how about Odell Beckham Jr.? Let's hear from him. Met the media a few moments ago. Remember, big back and forth with Greg Williams this week when he said Greg Williams tried to hurt me during a preseason game. You add Greg Williams with the Odell who, and then Odell responding with an 89-yard touchdown, part of a big night in his return to MetLife Stadium. We'll pick things up with Odell Beckham answering questions about Greg Williams, Odell who.
What was your feelings about what Greg Williams said the other day about, he basically said he didn't think you were one of the league's most dynamic players?
Who? Who's it? Oh. Everybody has the right to their own opinion. He's a phenomenal coach. He's got a great defense, but I'm done talking about it, you know. We won, so, you know, I just try to make plays to help the team.
Did that fuel you? What do you say?
Everything fuels me. There's nothing good comments about me, bad comments, everything fuels me. I feel all of that. So I just want to be the very best that I can. I'm going to work as hard as possible to be the very best that I can for this team, be the leader that I'm supposed to be. Just trying to do better.
Can you describe what you were feeling when you reached the end zone on that touchdown?
It's been a long time. You know, I missed the back end of the season. I tore my quad, completely tore it. I couldn't come back. I was out until, you know, early April with the quad trying to get it right. And then just being able to play football again, I had the hip going through OTAs and all that other stuff and training camp. And it's good to be back out there playing football. Got the win tonight. We got a tough game coming up next week against, you know, a very, very good team. So just trying to get prepared for that.
Is it particularly special to score a touchdown here, though?
I mean, I think at times I don't realize how hard it is to score a touchdown in the National Football League, period. And it hit me a while ago that it really is very difficult to get in the end zone. So just any time I can get in there, regardless if I was coming back to MetLife, regardless if it's, you know, first play of the game, anytime you can get in there, it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of hard work to get in there. It takes all of us to be able to get in there. So I'm just happy I could help us, you know, win.
So there's Odell taking the high road on Greg Williams, a little bit of who, but hey, he's a great coach. We won. We're moving on. I mean, that was a pretty good statement from Odell Beckham.
Is that zombie Odell Beckham Jr.? What happened?
There's no reason for me to throw one more punch. The Jets have been knocked out cold, and I'm standing over their dead corpse right now, so it's okay if I could just move on.
I'm going to work on the image of Odell Beckham Jr. standing over the Jets corpse.
That'd be pretty easy. I think somebody's going to beat you to it.
Probably.
Coming up next, we'll head live out to MetLife Stadium for all the reaction from the Browns' win over the Jets. Keep it right here. You want to hear it. It's next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. In case you missed it tonight, the Jets beat the Browns 48-7. Sam Darnold's triumphant return, 6 touchdowns.
He's trash.
Was that your video game simulation? Maybe the dream you had last night?
Browns beat the Jets 23-3 in a complete embarrassment for the Jets on so many levels. Odell Beckham's 89-yard touchdown after an Odell Who week. Trevor Siemian injured early. Luke Falk from the practice squad into play for the Jets. Adam Gase's questionable play calling, the benching of a $72 million cornerback. And joining us now on the hotline, live from MetLife to help us make sense of what we saw, New York Daily News Jets insider, friend of the show, Manish Mehta. Manish, I'd ask how you were doing tonight, but I think we're both doing the same.
I think you might be doing a little bit worse than I.
Really? What, you have a silver lining for me?
I have a lining for you, unfortunately. Although, I can say that they might be able to win some games in November and December when Sam Darnold comes back and the schedule lightens up.
All right, so 0-6, and then we're going to start winning games.
I think that's probably the path that this team's headed down this season.
I'll tell you where I was at, the depths of where I was last week and tonight with this game. I'm thinking, if we have a really bad season and lose, and we go like 2-14, what quarterbacks do we have to pick if we pick high enough in the top three and trade Darnold? Like, if Tua is there, do we have to take him and trade Darnold? If it's Fromm, do we trade him? If it's Jalen Hurts, do we draft him and trade? I mean, that's the depths of where I'm at, Manish.
Look, I think the franchise is in good hands with Sam Darnold once he gets healthy. You know, it might not seem that way right now, but I don't think they're going to be tanking for Tua or trading Sam Darnold. He's a part of their future. But it is a little daunting when you look over the next 4 games of the schedule. I really do think they could be 0-6. In fact, I believe they will be 0-6, whether Sam Darnold plays a couple of those final or the next 4 games or not. And even if Sam Darnold were healthy, to be perfectly honest, I thought when I looked at this first 6 game stretch that they would be fortunate if they were 2-4 coming out of these 6 games. So without Darnold, they're probably not going to win a game. I'm trying to find a game that they could steal with Luke Falk or Trevor Siemian, and I don't think it's going to happen in either Patriot game. I don't think it's going to happen on the road in Philly, and I don't think it's going to happen against the Cowboys. So I think 0-6 is, I don't want to say inevitable, but it looks probable.
See, I've tried to talk him up all night, Manish, that the defense at least looked okay in spots. In spots.
Yeah. It's funny. Some people were saying that in the building tonight. I completely disagree with that. They gave up basically 200 yards, 199 yards of offense in the first half, 13 points. So, yeah, they did hold Cleveland to 3 field goals. But, I don't think they played particularly well. They untimely penalties, that extended drive led to points. And then they obviously had that, the backbreaker on the 89-yard catch and run to Otoku. So.
Hey, Manish, what stood out to you hearing the Jets talk, or Greg Williams, everybody after the game, about Odell Beckham, the whole Odell Who comments from last week, and here he has 89-yard touchdown to embarrass the Jets?
Look, I wish Greg Williams spoke after the game, but he doesn't speak until Fridays, so we won't get his reaction until then. But my approach has always been this. Why, if you are a coach, would you provide bulletin board material to not only a team, but clearly one of the biggest game breakers in the NFL, in Odell Beckham? And the idea of being mad at Beckham for calling you a cheap shot artist is understandable. I totally get that. But why try to marginalize Beckham as a player? And that's exactly what Greg Williams did on Friday. Say what you want about Beckham, but you cannot deny that he is a dynamic weapon, one of the most dynamic wide receivers that we've seen in the league over the last decade or so. And for Greg Williams to not even give Beckham that due, that credit, was so outrageous, so ridiculous. You knew it was going to come back and bite him in the butt because not only Beckham's skill set, but because the Jets' cornerbacks, frankly, aren't very good.
Well, and then whatever Marcus May was doing on that play is still one of the most ludicrous things I think I've seen from a safety trying to chase somebody down, unless he just wanted to be a convoy for him. Manish Mehta with us, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. He covers the Jets and the NFL for the New York Daily News. At M Mehta, M-E-H-T-A-N-Y-D-N on Twitter. M Mehta, N-Y-D-N on Twitter. So coming out of this, at least Le'Veon Bell, I mean, the big fumble, but they got what they paid for in him. 31 touches tonight, goes almost, 129 total yards and became a one-man gang. Jason and I have been still confused all night of the, all right, it's 4th and 2, let's throw the screen pass 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage and see what he can do.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, right? Adam Gase is in a precarious position because he does have his second string quarterback, really his third string quarterback in Luke Fulk. But if you're going to go down with the ship, you know, give it to Le'Veon Bell in some capacity. Make sure he touches the ball on that play. If you don't get the first down, you can live with it. But I did not like the play calling at all. And again, you do have to temper that with the idea that, you know, Luke Fulk was in effect a third string quarterback. So I don't want to kill Gase on that too much. But I didn't like the play calling when Trevor Siemian was in the game. I didn't like anything about the offensive blueprint that we saw tonight from the first snap until the end of the game. Adam Gase was hired to be this offensive guru. Christopher Johnson called him an innovator the day he hired him, said that he has elevated the play of quarterbacks in his career. Well, this was a good test for Adam Gase to see if he could make Trevor Siemian, who has a winning record in this league, play at a higher level. That didn't happen, and he clearly didn't do much with Luke Fulk either. So, I don't give Adam Gase a free pass. Now that the fact that Siemian is out, You do have to lower your expectations from a win-loss perspective. But entering this game with Siemian, I wasn't going to give Gase a free pass. If he's this dynamic, creative guru, then he has to actually show some kind of ingenuity, some kind of creativity, and I didn't see any of that tonight.
Hey, Manish, lastly, Trumaine Johnson was a big story, $72 million cornerback who sat on the bench until there was 3 minutes to go in the game. After the game, Adam Gase said, we just decided not to play him. I know you talked to some people around there. You talked to Trumaine Johnson. What did you find out?
It was not a disciplinary measure, so it wasn't one of those situations like Week 17 when Todd Bowles benched him for repeated tardiness. This was just a simple fact of the coaching staff, specifically Greg Williams, not trusting Trumaine Johnson. That's an indictment clearly on the player and what he has done to this point, in the offseason. In the first game, he wasn't particularly good against Buffalo. And in a game where the Jets needed every cornerback that they could have against players like Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham, Greg Williams did not think enough of Trumaine Johnson to play him, and he would not even have come in the game if Nate Harrison didn't get hurt with 3.5 minutes left in regulation. That speaks volumes on what this coaching staff thinks of this player. It was a terrible signing in hindsight. The Jets thought it was a terrible signing this offseason. They were cautiously optimistic that Greg Williams could get the best out of Trumaine Johnson, because remember, Trumaine Johnson did play his best football with the Rams when Williams was the defensive coordinator, but the early returns are not very good. And it's an albatross around the Jets' neck when it comes to financial perspective. They're tied to him through 2020, but I would not be surprised if they ate a lot of money and cut ties with him after this season if this continues to go down this path.
You can follow him on Twitter, MMehta, NYDN, MMehta, NYDN, Manish Mehta, covering the Jets and the NFL for the New York Daily News. See him on Sports Reporters as well and SNY. Manish, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
All right, great stuff there from Manish, who says, hey, listen, we'll start winning games when Darnold comes back. It'll be 0-7.
Kick that can down the road to midseason. Assuming that he's right? I was listening to Dr. Chow, who does a visit with Clay Travis on the network. He said a big part of it, he might feel better. Mm-hmm. He's got to get his weight back. But also you have swelling of the organs, which opens up the potential for a big hit to create problems when you're talking about your liver, your spleen, and other things. So they've got to be cautious and probably add 2 weeks, 2 weeks or more on the back end, paraphrasing, of course, what I heard this morning, but just to make sure that everything internally is right as well, not just, hey, I'm feeling better.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, it wasn't just the Jets tonight. You had two teams that potentially saw their seasons end with big time injuries. But are the seasons really over for the Steelers and the Saints?
And the Mets, yes.
And the season is over for the Mets as well.
See, three teams.
We'll tell you coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
All right, so let's deal with Ben Roethlisberger first. Where is the Steelers' season without him and Mason Rudolph? They make the trade tonight, trading away a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I told you I disagree. You need to tank. You need to make sure you get that quarterback of the future. This is going to be a quarterback-rich draft in April, the first few picks, and now you don't have that first-round pick. Mason Rudolph gave you a bit of a spark, and Ben Roethlisberger clearly was not playing well. Can I see the Steelers going 500-ish the rest of the season? Sure. But the Steelers still have issues, and now Mason Rudolph's got to get into getting the reps and being a starting quarterback. I can see them hanging around, but in the end, is it going to be more than 6-10, 7-9 for the Steelers with no Roethlisberger? I think that's going to be about the limit that you can expect from the Steelers.
Well, you talk about the tall order, right, of Rudolph stepping in. You've got wide receivers. You've got that great offensive line. What you don't know whether James Conner is the guy that was there for the middle of the season last year or the guy that finished poorly and has now started poorly and is injured. So more of Jalen Samuels to come. Moncrief's been invisible. Juju Smith-Schuster setting records. Ryan Switzer's been solid for them, just kind of a move-the-chains guy, and you got Vance McDonald. So you've got some weaponry to a degree in expecting James Washington to do more offensively. Bringing in Fitzpatrick, you have him, you have Joe Hayden, you've got TJ Watt. I mean, you've got Hayward. I mean, you've got a solid defense. So giving up at 0-2, I don't know. You're the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're not Miami. You're not where your history is some 50 years ago at this point, right? You're talking about one Super Bowl appearance with Dan Marino. You're talking about a team in the Steelers that they're competitive. And Mike Tomlin always at 500 or better, that they're not going to give up on a season as it stands right now. Four teams that are perfect through two
and
weeks.
It's always a great message. It's always great to say nothing has changed. I get it, but a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick? Ooh,
well, he was a first-round pick a year ago.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I have to give you a first-round pick for him.
No, but you get down, and certainly with Rudolph, you saw a spark. You saw him work the ball
down.
I
said quarterback. I wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, I thought you said cornerback. I got Minkah Fitzpatrick.
You be careful what you wish for. Ryan Fitzpatrick might be back in a Jets uniform before long for a bucket of balls. So you better not wish that, speak that into existence.
I thought you said Chief Orman. No, I said Tommy Corman. Loud and clear.
But the fact of the matter is, in terms of a tanking proposition, I just don't think organizationally that's what you do, nor do I think you're that bad off. I mean, even with Rudolph coming in, you had a narrow loss to what is probably a playoff contending, pretty good team in the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm feeling
no moral victories, mm-hmm. But the idea is that you still have 14 games and a lot of football and a lot more injuries to come across the league. And at worst, what do you look? You look at your roster. Maybe there's a guy you can spin off and get back into those first rounds as well.
Now, when it comes to the Saints, who are going to be without Drew Brees for probably the next 6 weeks with thumb surgery, I feel pretty good about Teddy Two Gloves. Look, what the Saints are going to do is they're going to play Teddy Bridgewater and they're going to play Taysom Hill. And it's going to look like a college-type offense, and you're going to see all kinds of offensive creativity that you're not getting out of Adam Gase from Sean Payton. And he's going to continue to get that respect of, boy, he really is a great innovator and an offensive coach. And the Saints are going to do enough, and they're going to be able to hang around so when Drew Brees comes back, they'll be around 500. Look, their next few games are at Seattle and versus Dallas. Those are going to be tough. But then it's Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, the Bears and Arizona, and then a bye.
Gardner Minshew, winning, Mitchell Trubisky, and Jameis Winston.
Winning
three of those games. That's tough, man.
Okay. Tough for them. Winning three of those games is going to be okay. You know, if they go 3-3, which I fully expect they can do.
And then you have Arizona to end that six-game string.
Right, and then it's a bye, and then Drew Brees is going to get back. So if you beat Jacksonville, if you beat Tampa Bay and Arizona at home, which you should, then it's just one more win out of Jacksonville, Chicago, Dallas, or Seattle. Are you going to beat Dallas or Seattle? Probably not. But it's one more win out of those games, and Breeze comes back, and you're 500, and you're making a run. Now, it's a wild card run, but look, that's what that's the hand you're dealt right now because Drew Breeze is hurt.
Well, so, but in that division, who's running away and hiding? Are you sold on the Falcons? They got a win.
Yeah,
that wasn't
that
pretty.
Could have went either way.
Right,
no, that
was not a pretty game.
Way.
There's still
the
some
Panthers
questions.
Stink.
Panthers are done, and the Buccaneers, they're going to be good enough just to mess things up. Right,
yeah,
they're not good,
you're
but they're
okay.
Going to steal a couple of games where Winston's just winging the ball around like crazy as you go forward. I would expect if I'm hitting the waiver wire though and looking at that team, go see if Latavius Murray's available because they're going to run the ball more frequently.
Look at you. Latavius Murray is coming. Latavius
I just figure they got to run the ball a little bit more than they would with Breeze as the trigger man.
Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more in car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. You got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV covered. Got a boat covered. And there's so much more Geico can help with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That is geico.com. Coming up next, you got the play of the night. Gee, guess what that's going to be? And a big story out of the National Football League. Keep it right here. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
9 months from now, Jets fans
babies being born everywhere.
Who are seeking consolation.
Everybody who turned off the game in the fourth quarter and said, let's get busy because I can't watch this crap anymore.
What are we doing tonight?
Jets babies.
Yep.
Jets babies.
Named Sam.
He's trash.
Trevor.
Luke.
Le'Veon.
No, it really is. It's all your fault. I mean, it's all Northwestern's fault.
Sure, blame me.
I mean, it's your own fault.
Blame me
that's
that
your fault.
Myles Garrett decided to take the rule book and burn it and come off sides repeatedly and drive himself through the quarterback with really no repercussions. It'd be a little lighter in the checkbook, but those yards meant nothing.
No. Doesn't matter.
When your offensive line can't block either.
It's a stat game. Stat game for the Browns.
Worked out nicely. I mean, still 9 penalties, still a 33% conversion rate on third down. There were a lot of problems for the Browns. So anybody trying to tell you that they got right tonight, go back and watch the tape and watch what the Jets put out there.
Time now for the play of the night brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick and easy way you can save money. Switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more in car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you could save. Well, when your defensive coordinator says, Odell who?
Odell who?
And then you make that defensive coordinator eat his words with an 89-yard touchdown, well, you, Odell Beckham Jr., get to be the play of the night.
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium.
Browns Radio Network on the call, Odell Beckham Jr. The back-breaking play as the Jets had turned the ball over on downs, their previous possession, by on a 4th-and-2 play, throwing the ball 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage to Le'Veon Bell, who gets tackled a yard short of the first down. The most interesting thing on this play, you can watch, and we've seen this now 100 times, Marcus May, Jet safety, who allegedly is pretty good, looks like he has no interest in trying to tackle Odell Beckham Jr. as Odell catches the ball at about the 30-yard line, and it's like Marcus May is ahead of Odell trying to race him to the end zone. Instead of cutting back and tackling him, no. I'm going to keep running, and he's going to cut back, and I'm going to have no chance of
Did
tackling
you think
him.
It was like that old electric football game that once a guy started running in a certain direction,
that he had to go that way?
He just kept going that way?
I mean,
because that's really what it looked like.
What he's
got to
do.
He did like a 2-step cutback, and that was the end of it.
I get he's the last guy. Then Marcus May is the last guy, and if Odell gets by him, it's a touchdown. But when you're the last guy at the 40-yard line, you're not going to run the guy down. You got to stop and make the tackle. And he had a chance to stop and at least slow him up a little bit and make Odell cut one way or the other. But instead, I'm going to keep running ahead of Odell, and then Odell's going to cut back, and I'm not going
to
get him.
He literally had to take one step back to the left. That's all Odell Beckham Jr.
did. And he could have laid him out to a good hit. If Odell doesn't stop, he lays him out.
Yeah, it just... Pathetic.
Instead, this is what we get.
That is the play, the signature piece of the night for all the misery that we watch for 60 minutes of football. Mays... effort on that tackle attempt.
I don't know. I don't know that that's the lasting image. I think the lasting image for me is at halftime, Susie Culber throwing to Peyton's place package with Peyton Manning and Joe Namath.
Yeah.
That was really awkward.
Joe Namath getting a lot of run because remember the first
really
Monday Night
awkward.
Football game was the Browns and the Jets all those years ago.
And how did it end with him throwing an interception?
Yes.
And the Jets lost the game.
Exactly. Was it 31-21 was the final, I believe.
Yeah.
Joe Namath was also the guest on the pregame radio spot with Jim Gray and Tom Brady. So a little bit of chuckles and patting each other on the back there too. But... it ends the same way.
Yeah, ended the same way. And on Twitter after the game, Joe Namath put this out there.
I want to kiss you.
No, he didn't say that as far as you know.
Sure.
He said, we've got to learn from this game and get meaner and tougher for the next. No time for anything else. Let's go, Jets.
And then he talked about Vapor Lock.
It's like, has he not been watching the team for, I don't know, the last 8 years?
The Jets were struggling.
I want to kiss
that's
you.
That's not even close to Joe Namath.
Joe Namath struggling. He sounded like that.
No, Joe Namath sounds like this. We've got to learn from this game and get meaner and tougher for the next.
No, nobody sounds
no
like that.
No time for anything else. No, that's exactly Joe Namath. It's exactly
no,
Joe Namath.
No, it really isn't.
No, you sound like we've got to get meaner.
That's what football player sounds.
You guys don't sound like Boomhauer, though. Not quite that.
Want to hear from Adam Gase?
Hey, Coach, how'd the game go?
Do we have a quick Adam Gase we can hear from? Alex Teichert, do we have a quick
one? I'll tell you what you do. You just take them dang old spark plugs out, and then that little hole, you just put a little hole around there, just like Bobby Unser said. Just like it'd go boom, boom, just like that.
Boom, it's Taco Tuesday.
Ba-boom. There was a Bobby Unser line.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Look, tonight you got to watch the Jets season end, and hopefully tonight you got to feel better about yourself, your team. It's kind of like my own GTL gift to you, you know, my own Jim Tan laundry gift from Jersey Shore to you, that knowing that just by hearing my voice, you know that I have had a worse sports day and a worse sports year than you, and you at least have that to look forward to, because if there's anything people like more, it's being able to stand on top of somebody else who's got it worse than you do.
Schadenfreude, man, that's a big deal.
Can you say that on the air?
Yeah.
You sure?
I believe so.
You can?
You just
did.
Well,
it translates to relishing in the misery of others. And
that's pretty good.
We did that to you tonight.
It's that Northwestern education.
Thanks, buddy.
Ben Maller's next.